Blog Talk Radio.
Questions about that, please ask. Yeah, no problem to answer those questions. Also, the situation of doing readings and those kind of things, I also do personal readings and private readings as well. So if you want to contact me at 740-601-1057, or you can contact me at 740-500-8863, or you can contact me through Skype at Donald. It's actually in small letters, Donald. Reed 8, or that number is 740-601-9835. All right, and if you want to call in here for a reading, you can give us a call tonight here at 646-721-9031. Again, that number is 646-721-9031. And for the information for the private readings, just keep watching in the chat room. I'm putting the information in there ever so often, so keep an eye on that. Take it down. I'd love to do a reading for each and every one of you guys. So, also the situation, I also do readings on Keen. It's easy to find. It's keen.com. I've been saying too many E's. but it's actually KEEN.com. They call me Psychic X-Journeyman on there. And right now, we got a great special going on for whatever. We haven't really decided how long we're going to run it, but it's for 99 cents a minute, so give me a call on there if you'd like to get a reading. Also, I work for a company called Oranum.com. It's Oranum.com. And they call me Psychic X Journey on there, I guess because of the browser, I couldn't put the whole name on there, but it is Psychic X Journey on there. So check me out on there. It's only $1.99 a minute. So you have all kinds of different options that you want to choose. It's whatever's easier for you, what's more convenient. So check it out. Jump right in there and do what we got to do. Also, wanted to run through the whole thing. We're always talking about situations and stuff and people in the world, that kind of stuff. And I guarantee if you just sit there and focus on nothing but love and follow your heart, things will always work out for the better. I guarantee you, and you always see the truth. That's the whole thing of following the truth. But we also sit here and say, hey, you know, trust. It's like one of those things of love and respect everyone who crosses your path for exactly who they are. And also help, you know, ask God and the angels to help you love more every day so you can actually see everything for what it is. You'll understand that people who have any kind of problems out there, anything that they're doing or any way they're acting out, the reason they're doing that is because there's something, some issue that they're dealing with themselves. So therefore, nobody is attacking you. No one's any kind of resentment or nothing like that. These are just people just being themselves at that moment of what they're going through. So always remember that. And if you sit there and look at the situation of loving and following your heart, you will always understand why people do what they do and why they're doing it. And we also have a nice meditation to go along with that where it just starts off like, I like reading this at the beginning of the show because it just kind of sets things off. And the idea of what we're doing here is basically sending love out to the world and helping people to change their lives so therefore they can be more loving people and caring and kind and be what they really want to be. Because no one really wants to be a mean person. There's always something in the darkness back there bugging them to put them in that kind of situation. So if we can do anything to change that, that would be great, wouldn't it? Okay, this meditation goes like this. This is from the Angel of Loving Relationships. And it was given to this guy named John Randolph Price in his book called Angel Energy, How to Harness the Power of Angels in Your Everyday Life. So check out the book. And the meditation goes like this. Today, I send love to this world, and I call everyone my friend regardless of who they are or what they've done, for I see only the Spirit of God in every person, including myself. I love the completeness I am, the selfhood of God we all share as our eternal reality. I look within to this magnificent self, and I say, I love you with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul, with all my strength. And I love all my neighbors on earth as I love myself, for we are one. I love unconditionally. I give love freely. I give my love freely. And that love returns to me in bountiful measure. I am worthy of love, of being loved. I accept the love of others. I think of all the people I know by name, and I feel the harmlessness and harmony that exists between us. I look at my family unit. And I see only expression of love, goodwill, kindness, and respect among all members. I am thankful for my friends, and I see our relationships deepening in love, joy, and mutual understanding. And I know there is a special someone with overflowing love to share who right at this moment is being attracted to the love I have to give. Two flames soon uniting as one in a bond of love and ecstasy. Love is everything. Oh, how I love love. So when you sit in the situation, it's just saying, today, if you start your day off just with that one meditation, today I send love to this world, and I call everyone my friend, regardless of who they are or what they've done, for I see only the Spirit of God in every person, including myself. So therefore, the idea of loving oneself and following your heart and seeing things for what they are, you will see that everybody has the same essence within themselves, which is basically lining us up and helping us understand that we are connected to one. And the idea of loving each other, loving self. Like we always said before, love God, love you. Love you, love God. So therefore, the idea of realizing the connection has never been severed or any kind of separation because that's just something that the mind is made up to deal with situations and put ourselves back in, as we call it, reality. And we look at the situation, when we take ourselves out of that equation, we realize that everything is possible. It's just the idea of aligning our mind, our frequencies, our vibrations, and everything else that needs to go along with that. To basically obtain and to have that kind of life. But I just think it's simply way to raise one's vibration. It's just the ideal saying, I love and respect everyone for exactly who they are, and God and angels help me to love more every day. So the more you keep doing that and following your heart, I guarantee you, I've seen it myself. You know, people that used to be a certain way with you, for some reason start treating you in a different way. I think it's because people want to feel loved and cared about, and when they feel that from you, you have to say a word. It's just the idea of what they feel, they see, they know. So, when you look at the situation, I mean, I love the completeness of the I am. The I am, the completeness, means realizing it, we're one and the same. One and the same. The selfhood of God, we all share as our eternal reality. I look within to this magnificent self, and I say, as you're sitting there loving yourself, you're also focusing on the God essence within you, which is your connection to God, of realizing that you're talking to that God self. Then you'll realize what we talk about when we say you're one and the same. And when you can actually say those things to yourself and look within yourself and say, I love God and you, when you can say, I love you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength, I guarantee you, you can say it to somebody else too, because it's exactly how you feel. That is the truth. And you can love your neighbors on earth as you love yourself. You can love unconditionally. You can give your love freely, and that love will always return to you bountiful and bountiful measures. And then you understand that you are worth love, of being loved, and you can accept the love of others. And then you can think of all the people in your life by name, and you'll feel the harmlessness and harmony that exists between you. And also the situation, you're a family unit, anything with that situation, the only expression of love, goodwill, kindness, and respect among members, if you focus on those things, you will get those things. And those are the things you will always get. Okay, well, the situation, materialistic stuff, that's a different thing. It's a different story. It's actually a different show. So when you sit and look at the situation, you also come to a conclusion in your life that you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, there is a special someone with overflowing love to share who right at that moment is being attracted to the love you have to give because you're giving unconditionally. So we're all wondering about love, and we're also wondering about that one out there. This seems like this right here is an easier equation to figure it out. Instead of chasing after that person, just sit there and just love and know that that special someone with overflowing love to share who's also doing the same thing, you guys are being brought together. So if the angels are telling you, focus on that. Ask us to help you to love and respect everyone who crosses your path. And if there's a certain person in your life, too, that you'd like to put that name in there, then say that, too. God and angels, help me to love and respect that person for who they are and help me to love more every day. I guarantee you, all the obstacles that you're experiencing, if you find that one, or if you've already found that one, to bring the two of you back together, is the ideal of just learning how to love and respect that person and love and respect everybody else in this world and to learn to love unconditionally yourself and just keep doing that every day. I guarantee you'll get some really great results. And on that note, we're going to zip off to the freaking phones here and answer some questions. And like I said, everybody, we're also doing past live readings too as well. So if you have any questions about that, we've also had some shows on Atlantis and that kind of stuff. So if you're people who've been listening in and that kind of stuff on these other shows, and we also have a show that we're really going to put a lot of stuff into, which I'm looking forward to and actually really excited about, because we also want to do the same thing with this show too as well and bring more to it. Because I actually have a daytime show called The Missing Spiritual Link, which I haven't done since last year. And I used to have a co-host with me. We used to work together. You know, like Kathy and Regis and that kind of stuff. And we used to sit there and look at that because we thought it was a good name, Courtney and Donnie. So she's no longer with us in the whole thing, but I hear she's still out there doing her little thing. So Courtney does. If you see her on Black Talk Radio, check out her show. She's still on and get a reading from her and that kind of stuff. Because I think she, you know, she's really intense and she's really good at what she does. On that note, the show is called The Missing Spiritual Link. So give us a call and join us on that show, which is the format is going to be like this. It's been kind of scattered, but we're trying to keep it down to Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 11 a.m. Eastern, and we're trying to get it back up to at least a two-hour show. Right now we're just doing 30-minute shows, and that just doesn't give me enough time to really do anything. You know what I'm saying? The same thing with this show, too. So we're trying to put the thing in, really give people enough time to come on the show and ask their questions where they don't feel like they have to zip and get it done. So on that note, let's go to our first caller, and I was wanting to sit here and look at some things, too. I was looking for my information. Oh, yes, we also got this other thing here, too, called Hemi Sync CDs. And I swear to you, after this little commercial, we're going to go zipping into the phone. The company called HemiSync is a company that actually has CDs that you can play with certain kind of music that are good for helping you with sleep problems, sexual problems, anxiety, certain things like that. And what it is, the CDs have a certain tone underneath the music that actually helps the brain have both hemispheres of the brain work together, which gives you intense focus and concentration. And I really recommend these CDs because I have at least 4 or 5 of these CDs myself and actually wanting to get more. And that company is, go to the website and go to www.hemi-sync. That's H-E-M-I, Hemi-sync, S-Y-N-C.com. And if you want to give them a call, you can do that too as well. That number is 800-541-2488, 1-800-541-2488. And I really encourage you to go to the website because they got a lot of samples on there and stuff that you can actually sample music before you even think about buying it. And they usually have a nice special where if you buy 4 CDs at the same time, you actually get the 4th one free. So that's pretty cool because those CDs usually go for like $19.95 a piece, but they're well worth it. But they've been having some really good specials as we get closer to the holidays where you can actually get each one of those CDs now, I think, if I'm not mistaken, for like somewhere around between $11 and $15. I'm not really sure because they go back and forth, but definitely give them a try and give them a check out because I guarantee you that they're constantly always giving some really nice discounts, and especially as we get closer to the holidays, you can actually get you some really good CDs and get you a bunch of them. I actually have my favorite one. It's called Chakra Journey. And it actually goes over all the chakras, and actually the 8th track is actually for grounding. So it kind of puts them both together, which I thought was pretty intense, because that's what we like to do a lot of, is where we usually have a lot of meditation separately from what we're doing. So they actually have it on the same CD, so check that out too as well. That's my favorite CD anyway. And also a company out there called BrainSync. Now this is subliminal CDs. The first, HemiSync's not. That's a different technology. But this in here is BrainSync, and they do have subliminal CDs, and these things, the technology is a whole lot better than it was back in the 70s, and you should definitely check that out too. And that company, go to the website, is www.brainsync.com. Again, that's www.brainsync.com. You can also give them a call too at 1-800-444-7962. Again, that number is 1-800-444-SYNC, S-Y-N-C, or 7962. And let's go on to our first caller here. And see what's up. Let's go to area code 718. And we also said one thing I like doing from time to time, too, is looking at people's area code and looking at the first 3 numbers. I'm looking them up in my angel card book. 781. Let me look that up real quick. 781. Sometimes these things should just pop out, wouldn't they? Here we go. 718. 718 means your inner visions and heart's desires are right on course. Confidently move forward with your plans. So I hope that goes along with you. So area code 718, welcome to the show. How are you and what's your name?
Good. My name is Lisa. Thank you for taking my call.
Okay.
How are you? I'm good. How are you?
That's a good question. So you said what? Well, okay. Did you say what your name was? Sorry.
Lisa.
Lisa. And Lisa, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from New York.
New York. And you've called us before, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
Okay. So how can we help you tonight?
Okay. Just a couple of questions actually been on my mind. I just am working towards getting a new client. I've been changing course with my business. Actually getting a lot of male clients pursuing my services as far as coaching goes, and I usually have a predominantly female audience, but now I have a lot of men who are inquiring about my services, and they know my background thoroughly, and they want me to provide the service, the same one they get for the women, I give to the women. So I just recently responded to a client inquiry, and I just wanted to know what you picked up, if you see that prospective client saw my info that I sent regarding the request, and what do you see they picked up about it, if they even saw it already?
Well, the impression I get is I don't really feel like they picked it up yet.
Okay.
But I get a positive response, and I definitely get the impression they'll definitely hear from me.
Do do you pick up when you see that I'd hear from this person?
Yeah, so that cost you $19.95. I'm just joking. But anyway, so I definitely do see that. I feel like when?
Well, not like the exact day or anything like that, or...
Okay, but you should shush. I'm getting a date.
Okay.
Let's see. I'm actually getting next Wednesday.
Okay. Okay.
I get the impression of the situation you really want things to work out with this one.
Well, yeah, I do. I really do. Like, the thing is that I haven't, I've been writing a lot of articles and columns, doing a lot of Q&A for women, and that's what I've been focused on, and I haven't, like, done it where I created a program for someone for a very long time, actually. So this would be, like, a new type of way that I coach. I have the skill set. I just have never completely done it this way, and I'm completely motivated to do it once I got the inquiry. It just feels like everything is in alignment. That's what I'm trying to say. So this is, like, this would be a really big boost for me, too, on the financial side. It's been, you know... Do you see this being the boost that's continuous, or do you see something else coming in? Because, like I said, it's been quite some time, so it's just, I've just been writing a lot more than anything. That's how I've been making my money, is just writing.
Writing?
Mm-hmm.
What it comes to me is it's something that's beneficial. I get something that it's very, I get that a lot of positive things that happen around that particular one client, but I also feel like he's the start.
I'm sorry, what was the last part of what you said?
I feel like it's going to be a good relationship, a good business thing with this one client in particular.
Mm-hmm.
But I just feel like he is just the tip of the iceberg.
Okay.
So it's like he starts, it's like raising one's confidence up. It also raises one's vibration. So therefore, those other clients that you never have been able to attain, you get yourself at a higher vibration, you will. So this person here has a tendency to work by working with him, gives you that chance to raise that vibration just by starting to working with him. So therefore, you are going to start attracting even more and more and more. So it's just like I said before, it's just like the tip of the iceberg.
Mm-hmm. Do you
but
see
you
if you? Like, I'm sorry, you were saying something.
Yes, one thing I see the most is 11s around you, and the reason you have 11s around you because right now you can actually manifest exactly at will. So therefore, you have to watch your thinking and focusing and really filter out anything negative.
Okay.
Well, anything.
Okay.
Now I'm focusing on some things, too. And every once in a while, you got these little thoughts that creep up in your mind because we have a tendency to put our minds in time frames. Time frames can drive us crazy because the idea of when things don't happen, we think something's wrong. We don't realize nothing's wrong. It's just things still lining themselves up.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, the time is back, but we also have to realize the information that we get where we get it from.
Mm-hmm.
There is no such thing as time. So they can see it. It's like looking through a telescope. You can see solar systems that look just like right there, but they're still actually light years away. So you will definitely see, you will see signs of your manifestation. So don't give up and just keep focusing on what you're doing. But I feel like if you just keep doing your work like you've been doing,
mm-hmm.
and that will actually be the one thing that will help you get there quicker.
Oh, wow. I'm finishing up a lot of stuff as we speak. I have a volunteer, an obligation that I've committed myself to. The last workshop I'm doing is Saturday. Do you see, I guess, psychically, like, what I need to focus on? I really want to do a great job to complete it, and I had been sick for, like, a week. I had, like, a really bad allergic reaction, so I couldn't go, and I just want to close nicely. I mean, energetically, like vibration-wise, what do you pick up I need to focus on the most to make sure, you know, besides doing my best, I guess to make the mark with the kids at the end, like that I need to do.
I think I understand what you're saying.
I'm sorry, was I not clear? I mean, maybe I'm just like talking in circles. Just I'm being pulled in a few different directions family-wise that are kind of not letting me concentrate. So it's like balancing domestic and, you know, work.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I'm just trying to find out what I need to focus on the most that particular day to just, I don't know.
Well, I'm just saying, with the situation, you're going to put in perspective, all right? What's more important? You got some family things going on, I understand that, but it seems like if you keep everything else on track, too, as well, everything is in the best interest of everyone concerned.
Mm-hmm.
So you just got to focus, and that's why I'm talking about the negativity and the stuff that keeps kind of creeping into what you're trying to accomplish here.
Okay.
Because that's one thing, like I said before, you have to keep your mind on... You have to keep your mind on keeping your thoughts as positive as possible, which means even with the family situations and that kind of stuff, when they come in as in a negative way, you just have to turn them into a positive affirmation to make them
feel that way.
Because, I mean, like, it's like an example, I'm focusing on, I have visions and I have just a strong feeling about a certain thing in my life. I just knew for a fact it's going to have a very positive outcome. It's going to happen. I feel like it's going to happen this month.
Mm-hmm.
So what I do is I have some thoughts that come in my mind. Every once in a while I kind of go against that. So what I do is I stop and I reaffirm. And then the thing that came in, I turn it around and make
mm-hmm.
it a positive. So therefore, I'm constantly always going in a positive direction. And I can always feel it, which you know for a fact you feel it right in your freaking chest area, which is pretty much you're tapping into your God essence, the ideal of seeing the truth and actually following your heart. So you know what's going on. That's what the situation is. You just know for beyond the shadow of a doubt that what you're doing and helping the world is going to have a very positive outcome.
Mm-hmm.
In that case, that everything else around you too, it will also have a very positive outcome as well.
Okay. You said that the person, this client that I'm going to get, the vibration, my vibration is going to change and that's going to help. Is it just generally that is why I attract more clients, or is it because this person refers me to more people?
I guess it's like a double-edged sword. I guess it's more like the idea of referring, but also the idea of you just attracting them yourself.
Okay. When you say double-edged sword, I think that's not...
No, it's a good
okay,
thing.
I'm going to think positive. A double-edged sword doesn't bring positive thoughts in my mind.
You do like I do. You know, in the process of getting through a jungle, you need a machete to get through that. So that's a very positive thing. It's
okay.
It's like looking at everything. Knives can be bad. They can also be good. So what we're trying to do is not really focus on the duality. We're trying to focus on the one thing that when we have certain things that come in our lives, they're all positive. That's what I'm saying. You can look at it and go, don't fall into the situation. So, well, you know, in the past, double-edged sword is a scary thing, and it's a negative thing. So what you do is you say, well, this is the future, so therefore it's time to change everything. So you take those things and you look at them going, it's not the idea of putting people in a place of, I don't like that. It's more of a situation of challenging a fear and facing and go, you know something? A sword is a real good thing. It's always helped my freaking knight in shining armor get to me, so therefore it has to be a good thing.
Okay. Well, I will definitely keep that in mind, because it's something interesting.
Like a sword, right?
I'm sorry?
No, right or wrong.
What
did you say? A knight in shining armor has a sword.
Yes, he does. Well, now that you just said that, when do you see that coming through for me?
Okay.
A knight in shining, well, you know what I mean, love.
Well, sweetie, realistically, the whole situation I keep seeing unfolding for you is the idea of just keep doing what you're doing. And it's just going to, when I sit here and see the picture, right, it's like the whole picture. And you're doing the work. You're putting your picture together. You're putting your life in that kind of picture just the way you want it.
Mm-hmm.
I see the missing piece where it's just something that comes out of left field. And it's like one of those things I feel like that you'll actually be looking back on going, okay, I was wondering when this was going to happen. Here I have been with this person for this amount of time. And it happened without even kind of thinking about it. And that's why I keep getting for you, because if any kind of sense of word, we can't give you any more information than that because you'll dwell on it too much. And we don't want you to do that. We want you to let this happen as spontaneous as possible. So just
okay.
Keep doing your light work. You're a light worker. So get off your butt and do it.
Okay.
So,
well, I'm not seeing anybody now. You weren't referring to anybody from the past, were you?
No, sweetie. And everything, we always sort of try to work on the show. Right now we've been working on things and telling people the past is no more. So even if a person does come in your life that was someone you had seen in the past,
if they're crossing your path in this kind of situation, it's one of those things of looking at it just like it is a new person.
Okay. You asked, would you be able to see who I was in a past life by any chance?
Can I? Yes, well, that's what we do here. You came from a lot of wealth. I really feel that very strongly. I feel like that's what you're always trying to get back to.
Very true, in a good way.
Yeah, so I mean, when you sit here and look at the situation going, you know, I consider him saying Cleopatra. But see, not really Cleopatra in the sense of Cleopatra, but I do feel like in the same time frame of a person with that kind of power and that kind of, because I always, people really should really study Cleopatra because she was a very intelligent woman. She spoke 7 languages. She was just very, very smart. And she was not like the woman you see in the movies. She was not attractive at all. And so I was trying to stress to everybody that the thing that she had with, what the heck was that? Mark Anthony, right? I'm trying to do my history in my head real quick.
Yeah.
Where she had this freaking, she had something going with him and that kind of stuff. And they really did love each other. But, you know, it was like one of those things we sit there and show people that the physical sense, if you go by just physical traits alone, you'll be alone. So you look at the situation, what really is the truth about people who just follow their hearts, and they always find the one that will always love them unconditionally no matter what. And what I'm saying is I just feel like you're in that time frame. I feel like that when it comes to me, it's like a providence, whereas that means that being part of the Roman Empire, but being more in the sense of Egyptian and Roman, which is like an outpost. So we have all these things that we study with history where they have these little outposts, like, how would you describe this? They're spinoffs from Rome. And so, you know, you see the Roman Empire is huge. So what they're talking about, these outposts like out in the Roman Empire. I get you as in, like, if you sit here and focus on Rome, you would be east of Rome, but you would still be part of the Roman Empire. But you also had your own providence that you basically, get that you and your husband ruled over, but it seems like you were the pants.
That I was the what?
You're the one we would classify as wearing the pants in the family.
That's funny.
Yeah.
What did we do? We just ruled an empire?
And had a lot of sex. But
okay.
I sit here and look at the situation and things are going pretty smoothly in this situation and everything. Like, you know, a lot of times we look at Rome and all this kind of stuff and the conflicts and war and all kind of stuff, but there's a lot of places that it was kind of boring. Things run very smoothly. Things, you know, people liked you guys. They liked your rulership, so therefore it was almost like a huge family, so it all worked great, and you and your husband had a lot of time spent with each other, and wasn't, you know, wasn't really demanding in the sense of the word, where it was just the idea of doing it, and you enjoyed what you do, you enjoy what you did there, too, as well. I get the impression you ruled this area. I'm very strong-armed, but at the same time, you get counselors, too, in the situation. You and your husband were very, very loving people to the point where, yeah, you like roles and you like discipline. But you also felt like there was also a stronger sense of that whole thing about what discipline was all about, was having discipline with oneself and knowing the things that you need to do for yourself and that kind of thing. So I could see, like, looking at you as a goddess, as in the sense of, like, I want to talk about here. Like, it's just the ideal of, like, trying to figure out what to, it's like looking at your, just, very spiritual person. I'm trying to figure which one would really fit in there. The high priestess, something like that. I always keep getting temperance, like a combination of temperance and then the high priestess together. So, you know, it's like, I'm serious. Like, you know, even in the most loving families, there's a certain amount of discipline.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I get with the whole situation there.
Is there a chance that person that I married is the person coming through in this life?
Now, the answer I got on that was very yes. Yes, yes, yes.
I'm sorry? Did you say automatically you got a yes?
I got 3. Yeah, I already told you 5 yeses. You're going to be not the one, huh? Anyway.
No, I asked you at the same time, and then you answered me at the same time, so I was like, oh, okay.
No, it came very quick. Yeah, it was definitely, yeah, it was a definitely yes. That's all you're getting.
I know.
But you got your heads up, and it's like, don't put your head up. Just sit there. I swear to you, when I sit there and focus on the situation, it just says, keep doing what you're doing. It's a part of, it's a basically a part of the whole thing.
Okay. Well, then I'll let you go on that note. That way I won't keep asking.
I'm just saying, the situation, stop looking. My theory on people searching for love is the idea when you run into it might actually give you a reason why some people have a tendency to run the other way. Maybe they're not running the other way. You just hit them too hard. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But they were coming towards you, and you were coming toward them. So stand still. Just do your work.
Okay, I will definitely do my work. And
it's a situation where you throw yourself in your work, and you will have that person come right to you. And I swear it happens all the time because I've had the same situation where I was just, like, amazed with certain things, even with the idea, like, simply hitchhiking. I sit there and put it to the test where I said, you know, I feel like we should be able to focus and get things to the point where I can actually give me a ride hitchhiking to my mom's back door. And I did just that. It didn't fall in place like I thought it would. I actually met the guy. It was kind of funny, too, because I was hitchhiking. I met this guy who came up to me and said, I understand you're hitchhiking and stuff. And he's like, I really can't take you anywhere because I'm not going anywhere. But he said, I saw you out here and it started raining. He gave me an umbrella. I'm thinking, going, well, shoot, the guy ain't doing nothing. Why can't he give me a ride somewhere, right? So he came back again. Because I said, I know I can sit there and focus with the archangels and angels, and I get me a ride to my mom's house. And what's so funny about it, I reaffirmed, I think, and he came back. And he's like, I can only take you a mile up the road because I'm going to my friend's house. But I said, well, a mile's good, because I always tell people, whatever crosses your path, no matter how short, accept it, because you're telling the universe that you know they're leading you in the right direction, so that's just maybe that's the first step. I didn't realize this was actually my last step. So I sat there and told the guy, sure, I mean, a mile's a mile. Keeps me from walking a mile, right? So I was getting in the truck, we're heading down the road, and he says, well, where do you live at anyway? Where are you going? I said, I'm going to this place called Circleville, Ohio. And he goes, how far do you think that is? I said, probably about an hour and a half, maybe just an hour. And he goes, really, is that all? I said, yeah. He said, well, I can take you there. And the next thing I knew, I was pulling my mom's back door. The guy actually even came in the house, and I introduced him to my mom. So don't say it can't be done. I've done it too many times.
No, I won't. I'll just do what I always do. I'll just focus on work because I know it'll get me there.
And when I start having doubts and stuff, I just say, God. I say, God, angels, archangels, ascended masters, the archangels, please help me to focus on this so therefore it comes to pass, at least for the outcome, and help me keep focus because you keep giving me visions and signs and that kind of stuff. This is definitely going to happen. Because I was sitting there talking about a relationship I was talking about before, and I heard a song. And then I was going to call in a show on Blog Talk Radio and get a reading. Well, this one lady I called actually popped into her show. She actually gives a card. She kind of pulls a card out, and she gives you the meaning of what's going to mean before the show starts. What was so funny about it, I didn't have to even get a reading. She pulled this card out, and then she read it, and she this one to me. I'm sitting here going, well, I don't feel like I got to hang in there. So I think I just got it, and then you move on. And then you start seeing all those things in there. So what you do is you focus on, you know, all the things that are working with God, angels, and everybody who's working with you, and say, okay, keep me focused. So, because I feel like, beyond the shadow of a doubt, this is going to happen, but I do have a tendency this way from time to time, so just keep me going in the right direction to help me focus my energy in the right direction. So I just feel like focusing your energy in the right direction pulls everything to you.
Which is work.
Which is work. But see, in the situation, what we were saying before, They all come as one. People say, you're talking in circles. No, we're saying put the energy out there and everything you've ever wanted, desired, and needed will come to you. And the idea of the situation, I try to put relationships into more of a desire because what was that one I heard? It said, you're not looking for someone to live with. You're looking for someone you can't live without. The phone's ringing.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's the family situation I told you about, so I do have to take that, and I appreciate you taking the time, and I will keep you posted.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And you go take care of your situation, and thank you for calling, and you have a great night, okay?
You too. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye now. As we spin down, sometimes it drives me crazy when we sit here and go over these things. There we go. Let's go to our next caller, which is actually area code 213. Welcome to the show, and how are you? What's your name?
Oh, hi, Dawn. This is Gail. I was calling. I was seeing if you had a lot of people on. I wanted to help out with the tarot reading and also chat a bit, too. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm looking for a place to go. Well, not a place to go, but actually somewhere, another place to live where I'm at now. I'm living with my boss. But they're changing the house, so I'm trying to find a place before Saturday. I haven't found anything yet. I was actually hoping to leave Friday, like a day early.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also, I don't know if it's just the planets or what, but still, I'm not sure, because I keep asking you this. I think I asked you the same question. I think it was a rhetorical question. I was wondering, is everything flowing correctly regarding my career?
Well, see, what I was going to do. Okay. I was looking at your area code, which is 213, and I was looking it up as you were talking in the Angel Book of Numbers. And actually, this book I've been looking in here is called Angel Numbers 101, the meanings of 111, 123, 444, and other number sequences. It's by a lady named Doreen Virtue, the best-selling author of Healing with the Angels, which is my favorite book. I have a lot of good. You should get Healing with the Angels. I love that book because it actually has prayers in there for, financial problems, to attract more customers, to actually even focus on your life purpose and attract that career. And then there's another one that I loved, and it was Archangel Michael and Archangel Raphael. It's a prayer for stress relief and help people realize that sometimes with situations, we have to tendency to put things on ourselves, like time, that's a pressure, that's a block, and then time and self, and we even have a tendency to self-punish ourselves if we don't make certain goals for ourselves. So, just check the book out. I got to get the book again because I actually ended up giving it to somebody. And 213 means the ascended masters, especially the goddesses, and goddesses are helping you see the situation from a perspective of divine love. The more you can see the situation through the eyes of love, the better the outcome. I think that really fits your situation, what you're focusing on, if you're going in the right direction, because basically what they're saying is you are definitely heading in the right direction. It's just that you have to keep focusing on what you're doing it for, and the kind of thing I was talking about before. I keep putting everything I can in everything, and my angels came to me and said, why are you trying to, I tried to get a job at Psychic Source. And I felt very positive about it. I actually gave this reading, I gave this lady who called me for the test reading, I think I really shocked her because of the accuracy that was with that freaking reading. I mean, it was one of the best readings I've ever done, and I put a lot of meditations before I even did it and a lot of energy and that kind of stuff. And they still came back and said, at this time, you know, they always say that, there's no reflection on you, but at this time, that you're, you know, at this time we can't really use you and for our needs and that kind of thing, so it doesn't really happen. And I was sitting there going, okay, what happened there? And the angels came to me very quickly and said, you already have things in place. You already have things that you had to do. They're basically going to do and help you with what you want, desire, and need, where they're all going to fall into place. You've already put them in place. You just need to do them. And I'm actually getting to the next aspect. The next phase, what did you say, phase? Where I'm actually putting information together about a book, which I've been doing this book thing probably longer than I can think of. It's just now it's time to put it down on paper and put it in a book and put it out there. And basically from what I can pick up with that whole thing, it's just the idea. The information's already there. People have already told me to go back in the archives and the other shows and stuff like that because they said the biggest thing about when I do things is that it has a tendency to flow as I'm doing the readings and talking to people. But I need some kind of device that as soon as I start flowing, to pick up the information where I can actually play it back and put it in the book. And I'm like, So I just feel like sometimes we get kind of crazy when the angels tell us about a lot of things, and we're like, I don't know if I can do that. But if they're telling you this, I guarantee if you follow through with it, it's going to be a definite positive outcome. So with your situation, I'm just saying the same thing. You're going the right direction. It's like one of those things you just got to keep going, going, going. Even if you hit a brick wall, look at the brick wall. A lot of times the brick wall is like the brick wall in life. There's something behind it. You just got to learn how to go around or over it. Right? You have to dig under it.
I'm saying that it seems like is it just me or attitudes changing? Like, is this going to be like something long term, or is this something that's going to just fizz out because of indecision and, you know, just personal issues on others' parts?
Is it going to fizz out, is what you said?
Yeah.
I keep getting going on and on.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm checking because, you know, I want to keep boundaries and stay professional. I just don't want to, like, get personal whatsoever and have, like, any emotions involved in my work. I just want to do it. And I would like that to be reciprocated as well. Okay, I was wondering, yeah?
I'm just saying that the one thing I got the most is, as you go along, the path that you've chosen, really enjoy what you're doing, too. That makes sense to you?
Yeah, because I'm basically doing entrepreneurial mm-hmm. work, making things happen and setting things up. Yeah.
Right.
So do you find that, I mean, you said, I don't want to say that. Basically, I wanted to say, and I did also want to ask, because I had a flash, like, yesterday or the day before about, like, my time, my living time, and it was about past life I wanted to see. But, so do you see that I will be moving, like, at least finding somewhere by Friday? Because I would like to move Friday versus Saturday.
Okay.
And I'm wondering is it going to be, like, a lot of rent to pay, or is it going to be, like, one of those work trade living situation.
Work trade situation.
Mm-hmm.
On that, I get no.
Okay.
Well, tell you the truth, I mean, when I get that's what I got. I got no. It's not going to be one of those situations. It's actually going to be a whole lot better. The only thing I don't get is the idea of what that means, but I get the impression as it gets closer, you will.
Mm-hmm.
I swear to you. So just open yourself up, like we always say, like we were talking about this yesterday. And that show was just like, whoa, off the scale. I feel like there was a lot of energy coming from that whole thing where I was actually at the end of the show, I was smiling ear to ear. But we were talking about following your heart. When you follow your heart, everything seems to fall into place. It's just the ideal for us to really understand why we need to just go with the flow, which is the ideal love, with the ideal realizing that the path has been chosen for us, that we're leading going down as we follow the guidance. It just keeps getting better and better. But it never happens until we actually let go and let things happen. Just like they did when we first met them, you know what I'm saying? And I don't know if you caught that one, but we were talking about, but it was the idea that when flow is thin, it kicks in because people always want to sit there and question. Well, that's the questioning part is basically, you're not following your heart. That's why you keep questioning, because it doesn't go along with your preconceived plan. But you're still asking for guidance, which way to go. So it has a tendency to be a conflict within yourself, because, well, that's good and that's great. I know I should go that way, but I still want to do it my way. And how come I can't do it my way?
So basically, I want to know, like, where I'm going, because I don't, you know, I've been here 4 months. I haven't been stable yet. Like, I've been, like, mm-hmm. as I should, because I didn't know anybody, and I've been doing great for it to be, like, a leap of faith and not knowing anybody in L.A. County. Mm-hmm. But do you feel like it'll be longer term, more than 2 months, like, at least for the rest of the year into January?
Do I feel like it'll be for another, what? Okay, say it one more time.
Like, or more, like, for at least the year.
I get yes. All I'm saying is, I just wanted to sit here and look at this one here. We'll sit here and look at the situation, saying there is no separation between you and God. For that would mean that there is something other than I am. There is not. The sense of separation is from the head, which has been sleeping. The truth is from the heart, which is awake and is the throne of God's self, the I am. That's why we always focus on the God essence, that aqua blue plasma behind the heart. This is the heart, the true heart, the true God essence, the true feeling we feel, and we definitely feel connected in what we're doing, and we know we're going in the right direction. That's the truth. It says, surrender to the heart, the spirit, to truth. Giving to the one reality that which thought was personality. See, you always knew. It's just the idea of giving into that, realizing that the real personality is within you, not the one you've preconceived in your mind. And then, as you do this, the surrender takes you into the stream of love where your thought processes will be anchored. That means you'll be anchored in truth, so therefore the confusion goes away. You realize why there's confusion, and you understand that, yes, I've been fighting it the whole time, but I need to go along with the flow, and going with the flow sometimes will be kind of something's very unfamiliar to you because you've chosen, I want my life not the way it's been, and you're going to. You know, this surrender takes you into the stream of love. Don't question it. Just put yourself in love. I guarantee you have this glow on your face and a smile on your face. You're just going, I don't really see what, I can't really see it. And it's kind of confusing. It's not really confusing. It's like looking at the same, but you're so happy because you're following that. You're following your heart. But you don't see things just right then, but you keep proceeding to go forward because of how you feel.
I see.
I'm in a sense that basically you will think from the heart, from the feelings of love, and the head will awaken with a spiritual illumination. Not only will you feel and think truth, you will also see it. You will look through spiritual eyes and see only that which is real in life. Realistically, we sit here and talk, a friend of mine was talking about this, where you just start instinctively hearing God to tell you to give up the moral self for the base of the holy self, to realize it. In that process of letting that mortal self go, you're still kind of capturing the whole thing when you keep questioning everything because you're actually looking through mortal eyes that there's a beginning and there's an end. And we're trying to get you to the idea of focusing on God is God's omega. There is no beginning and no end. So therefore, that's how life really is in the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And so, oh, I lost somebody.
No, I'm here.
I'm saying with the situation and everything, We were talking about this before with some people I've met who do psychic stuff and everything like that. Never really intended this when they first started it. It wasn't something they started. But this is where they're at. And it's in the process of giving, it's like the idea of surrendering and saying, okay, why are things not working out? And all of a sudden, boom, you're putting it to a situation where everything starts working out. You might not be doing things that people might find, you know, they might, let's put it this way, the idea of questioning things, criticizing, even flat out attacking you. But it's the idea of realizing that in situations, that's how it works sometimes because, shoot, we have this one great ascended master who was actually crucified on the cross because of people's fears. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Would this happen to you? No, it's just the idea of looking at all the great things that will be happening to you. And the things that are going to fall into place. You get to a situation where they want you to stop questioning everything and just live your life at this moment. I know. It's like looking at a situation.
I don't worry about the future. I feel like the future is already taken care of because I've put myself on the path or blazing my own trail, my own path. So I'm not worried about it. It's just that I don't know anybody here, and it's a leap of faith, and I might support this.
But that's how life is. Heck, if you think about it, go back in your life and ask yourself, every person you ever met in your whole life was a stranger at one time until you got to know them, even your parents. So when you start thinking about things like that, you start thinking about why even think about it. I mean, I've gone to places where I just struck up conversations with people, and I've been around this freaking country, and even want to sit there and take it one step further, maybe go over to Europe. Actually, I do want to go to Europe, and just
people say, I can't see how you walk up to people and just start talking because you never know what they're going to do. I'm like, if you keep thinking about all these things that they could not do and all this blah, blah, blah. You're working with and that kind of stuff is, you know, it's just the idea of learning to, learning to open yourselves up and realize, like, in the process of hitchhiking, I was there telling people I thought it was kind of cool because I met all kinds of people. And that's the most, my mom and people I knew, he thought that was the craziest thing to do because it was so freaking dangerous. But see, that's perception. And people go, no, hitchhiking is dangerous. I said, no, that's the world telling you that. If you walk through spiritual eyes and you see everything as loving, you also attract the same kind of people too. So therefore, when you're out there doing your things and all kinds of situations out there, you're always going to attract people that are looking for the same things you're looking for. And you can also find, as I call them, manifestations, win-win situations. So they're all going to fall into place. So therefore, just let it fall into place where it's going to. And everything will work out the way you want it to. And you'll be looking back on everything going, it was fun. You want to make this journey as most enjoyable and creative as you can. So therefore, life will be just like it is, just like you pre-planned before you even came here.
Okay, speaking of, well, before I came here, so I have a question. During the meditation, I remember this lady saying, it was a prosperity manifestation meditation, and basically, like, if we had like a poverty contract in a past life, we can snip it and, you know, so we can gain our wealth for this lifetime.
Uh-huh.
So I'm wondering, if, for instance, in a past lifetime, what if, like, you were a warrior and you died early? Do you think that would cross over into your next lifetime, or is this something different? Like, can you switch that? Because for some reason, I feel like I'm evolved and I feel like if I do something for my sole purpose, then it'll be, like, my life will be up early. But if I just do stuff for the cash and not a little long time, it's kind of strange. But is that true in general?
That you can bring one? What? Okay. what is true? That you can actually bring something with you?
No, is it true that, okay, so I'm assuming that it's true that you could snip or cut the cords of the poverty contract or burn it in your mind
so that you can
bring prosperity and wealth in your life this time, like a wealth contract versus a poverty contract.
Yeah,
now,
exactly.
I'm not asking about the wealth. I'm using that analogy. So I'm saying if in the past lifetime, instead of a poverty contract, say you were a warrior, and, like, part of your life is, like, to fight, and then you die early. Now, what if in your next lifetime, like, you still have, like, this warrior spirit and everything, but you want to live your life purpose, and that involves doing something heroic or big, but then you pass early. Can you prevent that?
Okay.
Do you understand what you're saying?
Not really, but I'm trying to. I think what you're saying is that in the past life you're a warrior, and that life ended too soon. And then in this lifetime you still have that mentality to be a warrior, and it's like you're still trying to let go of things to obtain a more spiritual lifestyle, and you're wondering if you can actually get rid of the warrior part in favor of the spirituality. Is that right?
Yes, in order to have longevity.
Is the idea of always letting go of the past in the first place, realizing, okay, we had that lifetime, that kind of stuff, but the idea of realizing and coming back in this lifetime to learn what you have to learn is the idea of letting that one go. But realizing also that realistically in lifetimes, people really don't die early. It's just the idea that you died.
Yeah, like Steve Jobs, he died today, but he fulfilled his sole purpose.
Yes, you can still carry certain energies with you. Like, you know, being a warrior, you have certain energies that you focus on. Being a warrior, more likely you always focus on your root chakra. You know, security, you know, making a life, or actually, you know, making a living, or going out and killing or whatever it was. There was one thing about yourself was always
you know, that primal energy that you were focusing on to obtain your goals, and then you can still bring it with you in this lifetime. But it's just the idea, like we said before, of letting go of the past, is going back that lifetime and realizing that you don't need to hang on to it anymore. It's therefore, and that's a spiritual thing in itself, to realize just letting go of everything in favor of just connecting with oneself and realizing that in the process of living life, what we're trying to do is follow our heart. Well, in that lifetime when he was, you know, basically a warrior, the ideal, you know, we've seen these things before, people, follow my heart. They were following their passion. And maybe in some sense they were following their heart, but it was a different interpretation back then. Perception at that time was the ideal of doing things in honor. And they had, and basically that was really extremely putting themselves in ego. So they had a preconceived of what that meant, that you just did certain things and there was no question about it. And instinctively, in this lifetime, it's a totally different thing where people look at situations, authority, discipline, that kind of stuff, in different perceptions because they see things differently and they follow their heart, but it's in a different perception, and realizing when you follow the heart, you're loving people in a caring, kind way. Back in those days, it was more of you violated law somewhat. So therefore, usually the punishment was death, or you walked around with a lot of extremities cut off. And so they had a different perception of what love was, in the sense of, you know, I'm doing this for the love of my country or the love of this. And it's just perception, totally different. I know what you're saying with the situation and the idea of cutting that loose and focusing on the one, but I just feel like we were talking this yesterday too about duality. There's no such thing as duality if you really about it. You can see both sides. You can see both sides if you want to look at the idea of duality, but when you're actually living it, you can only live one. So in reality, as we put it, in situation, realistically, you can only live one, so therefore the only one that exists at that moment. That's the idea of living in the now. So with your situation, you're a very passionate person, and in some sense the way you can take what I get with the situation, if there's energy still do exist, you can use those energies to motivate you in what you need to do in this lifetime too as well. It might be a reason why you're keeping all those things. A lot of times it's not the idea of just cutting it loose completely, but the idea of realizing the drive that you do have and where it came from, which lifetime it came from, so therefore you can even put more drive into it to actually really accomplish things even quicker. That make sense?
Yeah, it does. Now, okay, I don't want to take up all your time. I always say this, but I end up doing it. But, okay, this is another one. Okay, so I looked up a lot of places to rent in the LA area. A lot of them, they have, like, multiple roommates already. And I want to find something that has maybe one person there.
Okay, you want to find one? I got the last part. Like, I want to find some place. You want to find a place where it's just one other person and you?
Yeah, because a lot of places that I've looked at is like they have like three other roommates, or you can share a room. But I'm looking just for like a guy or a chick. I'm assuming that like where I'm moving is going to be a guy versus like a bunch of people or something like that. I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm.
But do you see like whenever I move next week, like I'm thinking because I'll be moved by Monday. But like in that spot, do you see more than two people?
Well, so like I said before, when you focus on what you're doing with your life and that kind of stuff, the path you're going down, that kind of stuff is crazy. But it also points out the whole thing, what you're trying to do. Because I feel like every time you put yourself down in a situation and doing what you're going to do, the thing I keep picking up on is you're going to get exactly what you want. And I keep getting that you're getting closer and closer to the whole thing, too, as well. So what you're focusing on, I actually keep getting places. I keep getting this, like, the next place you'll have one roommate. There may be one more move, but I don't see anybody in that one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I want to expect. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
See, Diamond Light. Who's Diamond Light? Like, is that you? No?
What? No, I don't know
Diana. Yeah. I'm trying to show it. see how much longer we got. You're going to drive me crazy. Okay, I'm going to take. No, I'm going to take. We can actually put some music on and play some music for the guy. And real fun. Did you say you're going to stick around and do some readings with us or something?
Yeah, but someone just called me. I got to call them back. Well, someone called me a few minutes ago, and I have to hang up and call them back.
No problem. Well, you give us a call back if you can, and then you come back and do some readings with us if you want. And,
oh, yeah, I'll do that. I'll call you back.
All right. Well, good to hear from you, that kind of thing. We're going to take a break for a minute here. So let me think here. What are we going to play?
All right. I'll talk to you in a minute.
All right. We'll talk to you in a little while. You give us a call back when you can, okay? All right.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye. Just take a break and play some.
What are you doing?
Just hey, Missy, I got like right here. How much time we got left? We're sitting here. Say hello to everybody. Say hello to Missy. She's my daughter. Just popped in for a minute to actually see what we're doing here.
Hi, Miss.
Hi.
Yeah, that's my daughter. So if you guys could actually, we don't have a camera on tonight, but usually the guys when they see her, they're like, that's all they talk about. Anyway, let's do a little freaking break here for 5 minutes. Actually, we'll just, let's see, Little Kansas 2 called Cheyenne Anthem. We'll be right back.
From the mountains to the sun. Life has only just begun. We wed this
right.
Land and pledged our souls to meet its end. Life has only just begun. Hear my people roam the earth in the kingdom of our birth, where the dust of all our horses hides the sun. We are mighty on the earth, on the earth.
you guys doing? Take a little bit of a break there. One of those things where you drink too much fluid, get time for a break. So we're going to get one of our calls here. And our next caller is actually area code 443. And before you bring him on here, I was just looking it up in the angel book here. Excuse me. One of those things with drinking too much, too, has a tendency to bring around a bad effect. Anyway, the number 443, it says you are completely protected and loved by the ascended masters and the angels who have heard your prayers and are answering your calls for help. So let's bring them on and see if that has anything that any kind of ringing true. Area code 443, welcome to the show, and how are you?
I'm good. My name is Veronica, and that sounds about right.
Okay.
What you read about my number? My question was, I don't know if you are a psychic or a medium, or are you both?
Both.
Okay, I wanted to know maybe if you can tell me, if you can probably connect with somebody from the past that's deceased, a relative of mine.
So you want to, okay, you want to connect with somebody from the past?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this person that you haven't been, okay, I'm trying to, I was trying to make sure that you wasn't talking about passing.
I'm talking about somebody that's deceased, like a relative of mine that's no longer here, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Usually I try to pick up on things with people that are, they're communicating with me.
You don't go like, okay, I feel you.
Yeah, it's not like a seance or something. Like, I don't contact anybody. I've never contacted anybody. It's just like situations of people coming to me that
right.
I have a tendency to connect with the person they want to pass the message on to. And I just feel like, I just feel like with the situation you got going on, there's a lot of things going on in your life right now I guess when you sit and look at the situation, this person from the past, it seems like a person that there's a curiosity. With the connection, and I just don't feel like that person's really connecting right now. I really don't. I mean, even when I do personal readings and stuff, I don't pick things up from people. I tell them like right there.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's happening, nothing's coming through. I get the impression that you're trying to figure this out. I get the impression your mom's here, but your mom's not.
You felt what?
It's like a fluctuation of me. I pick up on the thing like your mom's still with us, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a connection with your mother, I get, that's coming through, too, is where it came to me at first, as your mom was here, but she wasn't.
Why is that?
Well, usually when I get a connection like that, what I would sit here and say with that one is, it's like somebody that was close to your mother.
Or maybe someone that I considered a mother, also.
That's what I was going to say. It was like,
mm-hmm.
That's why she'd be connected to your mother. So it was like someone that you... It's like in the same category as your mother.
Mm-hmm. I understand that.
And it seems like that's the one most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
That person. The person we're talking about. She's a...
I can't hear you.
No, I was saying, so the person we're talking about that you know of, what we're picking up on here,
mm-hmm.
would be deceased, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's not, because I get that strong connection. So it's like you see them standing right next to each other. And your mom's here, but the other person's not. Almost like...
Well, my birth mother, she is living. You know, we're in the same household, but her sister, I also consider her to be a mother.
No, that makes perfect sense, because, I mean, when the way it came to me was auntie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what came to me.
Yeah.
Before I could actually say anything, you already said it and said that your mom's sister. And I was like, no, don't say it. I want to sit here and say auntie first. But you have to go the way it goes, right?
Mm-hmm.
The impression I get there is the idea of a woman coming across very strongly and saying that you need to sit there and not let things get to you as much as you do. It's like a stress relief of letting things go, finding what you need to do. And she keeps saying over and over again that you have a tendency to make more out of things than they really are.
Mm.
and you stress yourself a lot. And she said this is really said in a caring way, because it's the ideal things that she knows about you when she was here, and she was talking to you about a lot of things too, and it's like she's still communicating with you quite a bit. But the way things are been stressed out and that kind of stuff, the ideal of focusing on just that. That's the one I got, that's the one that came through the most, and that's the only one that does come through.
Well, that's the one that I really wanted to really connect with, to be honest, was her. So that's a good thing that you could connect with her.
Well, I guess we accomplished that one then. I was like, okay, hang on.
So there's nothing else that you can get from her or anything, or no, that's all you pick up?
And that's what she said. You know, the idea of the situation of wanting to know how she feels about you and things like that, I get the impression that it's like what she has for you is unconditional. She said, don't worry about the whole thing, and she said, I'm fine. She said, you need to worry about you. And she says, actually, she says, not worry, but she says you need to focus on you. And you need to sit here and look at the situations for what they are and follow your heart. Quit telling what's going down the path that people keep saying you need to go down. And even try to, almost like you're trying to please everybody.
Really?
Even in the situations of trying to please your friends, you're still trying to please somebody else. But you're not pleasing yourself.
Yeah.
Even if it's not with everybody, it's just the ideal, even in the point of actually doing it just with certain people, you're still allowing those pieces of your life to be controlled by somebody else, which actually have a tendency to interfere with the rest of your life, too.
Really? I mean, I don't really think of myself as, like, a pleaser to, like, everybody. Like, I always put myself kind of first. Well, family first, you know, then I would pit myself. But that can also come in the same sense as you were saying.
Okay, so, let's take it back a little bit. When you said family comes first.
That's what I just said. They can all fall into what you were saying.
No. What? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I didn't say everybody. I'm just saying there's certain parts of your life that you do. And the idea of family comes first. Point is, if you're thinking about your mom and your sisters and that kind of stuff, and that kind of family, and aunts, nieces, and that kind of stuff, you're still doing it. Because, see, you are how old?
21.
Okay. So, basically, you're an adult.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I always bring this up, too. I sit here and say, in the Bible, it says, once you leave your family, basically live your life, it's your life. Whatever happens, that's your family. So, therefore, the first priority you have to focus on is you. So, therefore, everything else keeps in line. When you start putting family first, you're basically saying, I'm still a part of that. Well, you always will be. But now you have to honor yourself, to thyself be true, and then everything else comes through, or you know what you got to do. I didn't mean for it to rhyme like that, but it seemed pretty cool. So what it's saying, what the situation is, that's what they're saying. You need to focus on what you want to do with your life, because you're going to have people, and most of the time, it's always family who say, I wouldn't do that if I was you. The thing is, you got to see the situation is, you're not. I had a hard time with my mom, I tell you that, because my mom used to say, I don't approve of what you do. And it took a while to get to that point of looking her in the face and saying, you know something, Mom? I know for a fact you're never going to approve of what I do, but I have no intentions of adopting it anytime soon.
Right.
I have to live my life, and I have to follow my guidance. I have to sit here and do what I feel I need to do, or I'm just not going to be able to sit with myself any other way. So another thing, too, is, also realize what your parents have said to you, too. I mean, my mom used to sit here and say, she goes, when you get on your own, you can make your own rules, do whatever you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I did get on my own, she still wouldn't come to my house and tell me what to do. And I sit here and said, okay, Mom, this is the way it works. She came to my house one time, she goes, I don't approve of you living with a woman. I said, well, if you don't like it, you can leave. And she thought that she said that was rude. I said, no, it's not rude. I said, what's really being rude is you coming to my house and telling me how to do it. I said, because you used to say, and she looked at me and she said, who taught you that? I said, you did. You used to say, it was either your way or the highway. And this is my house, and when you get on your own, you can do what you want. I said, that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm taking your advice. But therefore, if you don't like it, then you have to go. That's your choice. If you want to sit there and respect it and honor what my house and what I'm doing, then you can stay. But if you're not going to, the only person that's making you leave is you.
Right.
And your prejudice. So you... any kind of sense of the word, when you get into situations like that, that's what I'm saying. You have to be true to yourself, because the thing that gets most people confused is they're not being true to themselves. They're being true to friends. They're being true to family. They're being true to everybody else but themselves. That's why they're not happy. In any kind of situation they get themselves into. If you let somebody take advantage of you in a sexual way or in an employment way or always putting you in a situation, it's because you have a fear that you haven't faced and they're playing on it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're always going, and that whole situation, once you get rid of that fear, no one bothers you and no one can tell you what to do and what not to do. And if you're a person who wants to sit there and tell everybody in certain situations that you're going to do it your way, look at your life realistically and go, but my life I don't have control over, but there are certain people that you try to, then you need to sit there and look at the situation, look within yourself too, and say, why do I do that? What am I scared of? But it's a scary thing.
So the situation you're talking about, like I said before, your I'll call her your aunt. That's the one that she came through when she was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's what I was saying. The idea of worry is not being true to yourself, too, because you're worrying about all the things that could possibly happen. When if you follow your heart, you always see things the way they're going to happen. But you're always going to see the way things are supposed to be. So therefore, there's no fear about it.
Mm-hmm.
There is no fear.
All right. I was wondering if you can give me a number reading on my birthday. I don't know if you can do it by four-digit numbers, I don't know what the book is called, but you was reading all of it.
Oh, yeah, it's called Angel Numbers 101 by Doreen Virtue.
So can you look it up by, like, a four-digit or no?
Well, what I can do is I can sit and look at the situation, like with your birthday, we can look at the year. Like
or maybe you could do the year or give me a personal reading with myself as far as, like, the future or... It's pretty much up to you.
Okay, well, give me your birth year.
1990.
That would be 9. I'll go with the last three numbers first. This is 990. Correct?
Yes.
Hold on. We've got 990. It's kind of chilly today. My hands are kind of like, ooh. All right, 990. When you look at the situation 990, it's God is urging you to completely concentrate on serving in a spiritual focus through your career as an answer to your prayers. Now, if you sit and look at the idea of what one has on the front, look at one, okay? They're telling you to focus on your career.
Mm-hmm.
And when you sort of take a look at the idea of one itself, this puts the idea of what we're talking about. Because one basically says stay positive. Everything you're thinking about right now is coming true, so be sure that you're only thinking about what you desire. Give any fears to God and the angels. That's pretty self-explanatory.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're saying is it doesn't matter what you do, what you don't do. It's the idea of always focusing on what you want to do, really. So we're not talking about in a selfish sense. We're not. We're saying what do you want to do with your life?
Mm-hmm.
But also the situation of putting it out there and asking angels, God and angels to help you also, too, they're going to point out things, like we said before, you follow your heart, you will always see the truth. So
mm-hmm.
you either see that you shouldn't go down that way or you see that you will. There will be no questions about what you need to do. And with the situation, well, I feel like a lot of things in your life right now, it's the idea, I know what I want to do, it's just the idea of getting the courage to actually go and follow through.
Mm-hmm.
And I just get a really strong impression with the situation of getting to that point of just following through with what you know you need to do. It's going to work out really good. Alrighty?
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You have a great night. Please give us a call back and give us an update on your life and how things are going, all right?
All right.
Alrighty? Okay. Good night. And we're going to be going on to another call. I just want to urge everybody, if anybody in the chat room actually wants to ask a question or anything like that, please do so. And anybody who has anything they want to ask, of any kind of thing, just go ahead and do it. I see we've got some things going on here, but not a lot. All right, so let me go back here, and I'm going to sit there, and you want to give a call in here, because actually, after the show is not streaming live, we're still recording this. And we've actually been able to record up to an hour after the show's over with, okay? So if you're in the queue, just stick with us, and we definitely will get to you, all right? We'll get to each one of your questions. We'll stay as long as we can, and we'll get to everybody we can, okay? So hang in there, and we're going to go on to another caller. I just want to make sure everybody knows the number so you can get a call in here. The number is 646-721-9031. And also with the chat room, I'll put the information in there on how you can actually reach me for a private reading. And we also do private readings and relationship counseling. And we give all kinds of life coaching and just anything you can think of. I mean, see if you can, if you call me on Skype and we can do a video call, I can actually do palm readings. So keep that in consideration, too, and give us a call. And for a private reading and relationship counseling and all those things that we were talking about, just give us a call here at 740-500-8863 or call me through Skype, which is 740-601-9835, or contact me through my website, which is www.psychic-journeyman.yolasite.com. Again, those numbers are 740-500-8863 or 740-601-9835. Or contact me through my website, which is www.psychic-journeyman.yolasite.com. Alrighty, and we're going to post that right now in the chat room, so you'll see that out there. And let's go back to our callers, and let's start getting some... Okay, here we go. Next caller we're going to bring on. Now that's area code 918. Welcome to the show. How are you, and what's your name?
I'm doing well. My name's Angela.
Angela.
Yeah.
So where are you calling from, Angela?
Oklahoma. I'm calling from the state of Oklahoma.
Oklahoma with it. Okay.
It's a good musical.
Yeah, I actually was in. We had a musical when I was younger. I think it was like third grade, I think, or second grade. I was actually an extra in Oklahoma. So it was kind of a funny thing, too. So I know that song very well. I've heard it a lot.
Well, outside of Tulsa, we had the official home of Oklahoma, the musical. It's set outside. It's just beautiful.
Yeah. So I'm noticing you're. Like I said, was actually looking your area codes up in the book here and try to give you an idea of exactly what they mean. I was looking at yours 918.
Mm-hmm.
And 918 is, let me see, 918 is your passion about your career ensures your success and support. Follow your heart's guidance.
Hmm.
So, that said, what's the one thing we can help you with tonight?
Well, I'm just wondering if you can hear from anybody on the other side for me, friends, family, what have you, and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm feeling really tired out, and
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm in a transition point, and some days are better than others, you know.
Right.
Not a horrible thing, it's just incredibly uncomfortable.
Okay. The one that keeps coming to my mind all the time, I keep hearing Jack.
Jack.
Does Jack resonate anything with you?
I'm thinking about all the wills.
Huh?
I'm thinking of all the wills. I don't remember a Jack, but that doesn't mean to say that there's not one there.
As you were talking, the only thing that keeps coming through is Jack.
What about
a connection there? I don't really get the feeling that it's Jack telling you that. I feel like the person wants you to know what that means because that's a connection between the two of you. And I just and that's how I keep getting Jack. I do get a lot of candles.
I definitely get right now.
Right.
You're doing well.
I would definitely see the situation of this person being around you to the point where they want you to connect with them. And also the candles seem to give me an indication that they want you to really see the light of things, what they're looking at right now.
Mm-hmm.
But also the idea of things that are going on in your life right now to see, not the darkness, but the light part of the whole thing to get past them quicker.
Mm-hmm.
I keep getting this impression of your grandfather. It keeps coming out of the darkness, and it's like he's... When I sit here and say the darkness, I'm not saying it's dark where he's at. I'm just saying it's like the idea of a person who comes from time to time, who has a hand on your shoulders, who's giving you a shove every from now to, from time to time.
Yeah.
I usually have a lot
of spirits around me. I mean, just tons of them.
Mm-hmm. That's just the idea.
I always understand what they're saying, though. So.
Well, a lot of times with a situation, if you don't understand what they're saying, then don't try.
Oh, yeah, I don't worry too much about it now. I mean, I used to. Oh, my goodness, it was bad. And
my father
bothers me, the car alarm usually goes off all the time, and it's really annoying at 2 in the morning. And I hear it go off.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about the car. Always.
Well, I do get the impression, the idea of things around you of listening when they do come through very clearly.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a taken. But I'm just saying that one thing I got the most was your grandfather, and that was it. I feel like that was a very strong point of that person coming through as being one of the things I would look at as being more of a the person that would be the, I don't know if I want to say a mediator, but it's just, yeah, he's the one that seems to be the one at the forefront of people we actually communicate through.
Do you mean other spirits or people in the family?
Well, from what I'm picking up, I'm just saying, it counts to me as a mouthpiece. So that means, to me, that means whoever comes through, they'd more likely come through him.
Okay, well, that makes some sense, it does.
They call him a mouthpiece, too. So,
hmm.
Can I ask what your father did when he was here? Or grandfather?
My grandfather, one died in World War II. The other, he was very mean, very, very mean. He worked at Alcatraz. He was over the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
We have his billy club and all that stuff. This is a very cold man. He had to work hard the majority of his life from, like, age
mm-hmm.
five on, you know, very much pull yourself up by your bootstraps type of person.
Was that on your mother's side?
That was on my mother's mm-hmm. side. And I did have a step-grandfather that was Czechoslovakian. He was an albino, just brilliant man. Dooming brilliant. He was brilliant.
He's passed too, right?
Pardon? Yes.
He's passed, yeah. He's the one. What's his name?
George.
I get the impression, because it is almost like I was Sarah saying, it's like it came to me real quickly. He's the one that we're talking
mm-hmm.
about. But I also get the impression that your father's father, too. That
his
sound like
name
that.
Would be
Chuck. Every time I heard anything, they're saying that, well, I'm just saying with the situation, the father they would actually communicate through either would be him. I still think, because
mm-hmm.
as I was thinking of the first one, the first play, they kept on saying, I was wanting to ask you that, too, about your father's father, and I kind of kept on hearing it over and over again. That was definitely the one we were talking to that keeps referring to this Jack. That was actually your father's father. It's one of those situations, if you don't really pick up on things, that kind of thing, it's happened before. I mean, I had a reading with a lady when she was talking, it was actually a guy, and I know it was a lady, she was asking questions about some things about her connection to Italy. And the thing I picked up was where her grandmother got married in Italy, and she had a husband named Eddie. Well, she couldn't remember these things at all, so therefore she went and found it out, and sure enough, that's exactly what it was. Her grandmother, and she got married in Italy to a guy named Edward, and that was her.
My father's family's been here for 16 generations. Their neighbors were
right.
Thomas Jefferson. So,
mm-hmm.
I don't know that much personally about my grandfather because he
right.
died when my father was two, I believe.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't stop the spirits from actually getting to know who you are.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I realize it, but I don't know that much
mm-hmm.
about him detailed. It was a painful memory for my grandmother, of course, and so
yeah.
I would never ask her about things that hurt her deeply.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's the one thing I get. I'm telling you, that's the only message I get right now, the idea of connecting and almost like doing your own little homework here about finding out Jack and the situation, what the connection is there.
Well, I think things like that show themselves in due time and
mm-hmm.
just like I found out I was Jewish this past year and I was
yeah.
engaged to this Jewish man, and this picture keeps showing up when I Google a Jewish wedding. It's a portrait called A Jewish Wedding by Yosef Israels, and my friend's researching my mother's French line so I could get married in a synagogue and start
mm-hmm.
talking to this picture, you know, a Jewish wedding. I said, why do you keep showing up? I don't need you. I need this, because I was getting really frustrated and he wanted this
mm-hmm.
wedding down in just like a few months. And it turns out, I forget which grandmother it was on my mother's side, but that was
mm-hmm.
her cousin. The artist was her cousin. Yosef Israel.
Right.
That's my family. And it kept showing
right.
up, you know. Just one of those feel-good things. And my family was there all the time, and I just didn't know it. It's kind
right.
of a cool thing. Very relaxed.
Well, see what you can find out and get back with us. I'd really like to hear
okay. about Jack. But why is this one so important to you, or what do you feel about it?
The thing I get the most is just the connection that you need to, something about the connection.
Okay.
I really don't get anything else but this implying of Jack. I mean,
I'm pregnant, so, I mean, maybe that's, I don't know. Jack. I like the name Jack.
I'm just saying. You know, it's, I really recommend that you do some meditation and just ask that one grandfather on your dad's side and see what it's all about, see what he comes to. Well, I feel like you said before, a lot of things around you, it's just the idea of opening that one up and see what's it all about, okay?
All right, well, thanks a lot.
All righty. Well, thank you. Ooh, we went dark. Well, she's going. Let's go into our next caller. But do I want to hear? All right, let's go into area code 615. 615, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, and what's your name?
Brenda.
Brenda?
Yep.
And how are you, Brenda?
Oh, so-so.
So how can we help you to know? I was actually looking up your area code number, too, 615.
Yeah, it's in Tennessee.
Tennessee?
I was just kind of wanting an angel reading and see who's around me.
Let's see, 615. I want to sit there and do this because this is probably the angels. These are angel numbers. 615 says your new positive outlook is improving your home and your work life. So I sit there and focus on that one just in general. It's the idea of focusing on that positive. So with the situation you're talking about, the angels, it seems like they're really urging you to really focus on exactly what you do really want to do with your life. That's what I get the most. That was the strongest that I've actually picked up all night. How things going in your life right now?
Not so hot.
Mm-hmm. And what do you
contribute? Not so hot at all.
So with the situation, the way things are playing out, what would you contribute it to?
Why my life is not going so hot?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have a son and a daughter who both just got in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And I lost one of my sons last year, and I lost my husband 4 years ago. So,
mm-hmm.
And my daughter is pregnant, and so she doesn't need to be getting into trouble. So, but anyhow, that's why my life is not going so hot, and I just can't. No matter what I do, I can't seem to really get into her head that she's going down the wrong road. So I don't know what to do. I'm at my wit's end.
That was weird. Okay, everybody, I don't know what happened there, but sometimes with a situation, I don't know. That is just really freaking weird. Usually, with, I don't know, we've had some better, I don't know, it's one of those connections where you sit back and look at the situation and go, okay, what happened? It should have happened that way. But anyway, let's turn a look at the situation and go back to our callers and get things done. With the situation, I really need to take a look at some other things here real quick. I'm going to go to area code 404. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Yes, where are you calling from and what's your name?
I'm Portia, and I'm calling from Georgia.
How you doing? Oh, I also see that 615 is, I think this is the same one who called in before. And we will definitely get to you after we get done with this caller. So just hang in there. And everybody out there, we got like 16 minutes left in the show, but we're going to try to get to everybody. Plus, we can actually stay about an hour over the show. So definitely stay there, because I definitely will make an effort to answer everybody's call who's in the queue. So stay right where you're at and that kind of stuff. And you want to give us a call in here. We've had one technical difficulty, but you still give us a call at 646-721-9031. And also for private readings, you can also give me a call at 740-500-8863 or contact me through my website, which is psychic-journeyman.yolasite.com. So check us out on that whole thing. And with the lady we're talking here from Georgia, how can we help you tonight?
Well, I want to get some insight on my love life. And my career and my financial status and
okay.
How things are going in all three of those areas of my life.
All right, no problem. The one thing that came to me the quickest was the idea that Angel was asking, are you following your heart in each one of these areas of your life?
Yes. I'm
okay, they keep saying over and over to re-examine, to look at these situations and what's really going on.
Okay.
We understand that people have plans, the things they want to stay to, and the things they think they should be doing. But
mm-hmm.
That's the one thing I keep getting over, is the ideal to re-examine each one of those areas that you're talking about to pop in there to see what's going on.
Okay.
And realistically, when I sit here and look at the situation, they say that's the most important thing, and that's the one thing that's coming through the most and the loudest. Okay, because it's almost like you get this impression with some of the things that you're going to look, the idea of looking at this thing. You can also see results that you're looking for happening before the end of the month.
Okay. All right. And I see what you're saying, because it's because I'm going through transitional periods with all three, so I can
mm-hmm.
definitely see where that is coming from with the re-examining everything. Because I'm newly getting out of a marriage, newly coming out of the closet, newly doing all kinds of stuff as far as my love life is concerned. So it's like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just finally finding myself for who I am romantically and sexually. And now it's like I want to get to the point where I really want companionship and I've never really been like casual type of person, even when I was, heterosexual, but now that I'm a lesbian, it's like, I don't know. It's like I'm yearning for the same type of stability that I had in relationship wise when I was heterosexual. And I guess making the transition has kind of been, it hasn't really been hard for me personally to make the transition, but I guess for the way I think of relationships to make the transition. So if that's sounds anywhere reasonable. So are you getting like anything? I mean, I know what you're getting strongly is me reexamining and me making sure that I'm at a place where I need to be with it. So do you see anything like on the horizon as far as me finding companionship or finding love again or anything like that?
Yeah, like I said before, the thing I get the most, like I said before, it was coming across about a month. It's like, I get the impression of a month, and I can also get the fluctuation between a month and a half.
A month and a half. Okay.
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 Yeah.
All right.
One thing I like to stress to everybody, too, when we sit and focus and the angels say you need to reevaluate and look at those things within yourself, that has a tendency to determine the timing, too, when it's going to happen. Sometimes if you don't really sit there and give yourself that time and space to do that, it could actually take a little longer in the process of getting those realizations, but also the idea of doing real intense work, it could happen quicker. So keep that in mind, too, as well, okay?
Okay, I'm definitely going to keep that in mind. Okay. All right, so even the re-examining thing with my career, I've been pretty focused on one specific thing, and I'm maybe thinking that maybe I should either change my focus or kind of take part of my focus and put it on a whole nother thing. So am I kind of going to the right direction and thinking about taking part of my focus and putting it in another direction, or keeping or should I keep my focus on what I've been focusing on for the past couple of months?
I get the impression you should keep focusing on what you've been focusing on.
Okay.
Alrighty.
That answers a very big question for me. Okay. Good. And then my financial status. So I guess that if I stay focused on what I've been focused on for the last couple of months, is that going to help change my financial status?
Yes.
Okay.
It will definitely change. That's what, like you said before, I mean, that's the whole thing right there, yeah.
Okay.
Most definitely.
Okay.
And I'll just say, hey, best thing to do is give us a call back and tell us how those things work out. Because, like you said, do what you got to do, reevaluate, do the whole thing. And, just sometimes with the situation of focusing on these things, you might actually find a different avenue to go down, but still attaining exactly the outcome you saw. So that's what we're saying here.
Okay. All right. Well, you gave me some clarity and some things to think about, and that's what I needed. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Okay.
You have to give us a call back and give us an update on that whole thing, and thank you for the call.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Let's go into, let's go back to area code 615. How are you?
Hey, I'm okay. I don't know what happened that we got cut off. That was really weird.
Because I was thinking about the avenue I'm going through. It shouldn't have happened that way.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I've had problems with Skype, so I went through a different avenue than going through Skype. So at least I have problems where I was constantly getting cut off all the time. So I was like, kind of kills the whole message thing, doesn't it? So what would be the one question you want to ask? I said, you got some things going on in your life and that kind of thing. But the one thing I was focusing on, like what we were talking about last night, about people who have a tendency to follow their hearts, a lot of times with situations, you're going to have a lot of people around you who are not doing those things. So there are questions. It's the idea of getting yourself in a situation and realizing. Because I know for a fact, when I focus on things, like, for example, you got a relationship that you're focusing on bringing back together. You have a tendency to have a lot of negative thoughts to come in. From time to time, not really a lot. I'm just saying when they do come in, they feel like a lot.
Right.
And it's just one of those things of realizing that those are just fears that are coming in there telling you that you really want this relationship. But there's something about the thing where you let the fears come in from time to time because, yeah, you definitely do want those things. But there's something unknown about the whole thing that you're not really sure about. So if certain fears come in like, oh, she takes off with somebody else or he takes off with somebody else, or it doesn't happen, you have to sit there and take those fears and go, okay, no, that's not what's going to happen. I see it very, not the idea of just seeing it, but feeling it. Like it just takes over your body like a very positive energy that you just know beyond a shadow of a doubt the kind of relationship you have with that person or the situation you're in or whatever it is, even careers and those things or money problems or whatever, that you have a certain vision in your head. And when you get really good feeling about those things, those are the things you should follow through with, no matter how much it contradicts what's going on in your life right now. Because we were sitting looking over these things where it talks about the energies of the angels and how things are really, how, what the truth is
of whether things are supposed to be a certain way. And just because our lives don't reflect it at that moment doesn't mean they're not truth. And that's what we're focusing on about bringing in our lives, is that those truths will become reality. And the situation is we can't really be focused and pulled into what's going on at the moment either, even when it comes to certain situations and people, because what we're trying to do is we're trying to create a different outcome. So we can all, people do this all the time. That's why I always suggest to people, take your television, and if you only pick up news stations, throw it at the freaking window. Because what you're doing is you're bringing negativity of other people's freaking crisis, and all this craziness is going on, into your life, into your home. And see, your home is your sanctuary. So in the situations of certain things that you feel like you need to do, it's just the idea of realizing you've already come up to the conclusion of what you need to do. It's just the idea of you need to follow through with those things, no matter how hard it might be, even with the situation of people around you that you might have to send down the road or whatever. It's just the ideal. It's time to do what you feel you need to do without questions and without even going out there and asking people to say, you know, I'm sorry I did this. When you get to the point where you're not sorry for the things that you do because you knew that was the course of action that you needed to do, then you're going to start seeing your life clear up to the point where your life is the way you want it. When you start interfering and letting other people come into your life under any kind of circumstances and the situations they're bringing in, if it's not a happy environment, it's because you've allowed their unhappiness to come into your life too as well, of things that you haven't dealt with. So they're kind of all reflecting those things. So when you start really confronting them realistically, you know, then you'll start seeing things getting more positive because of the situation you need to do. I mean, like, for example, I had a couple living with me. The whole time they lived with me, it was just nothing but drama and chaos. And it was kind of amazing that when they were taken out of the picture, that everything seemed to get more calmer and a whole lot more happier. But I also noticed the situation was, it did play out in a certain way that we could have looked at as being violent, of a person coming to my home and attacking me. But in the process of that situation, of confronting that fear, because I always tell people, just because you know that person has issues within themselves that they need to confront, he's still drunk and he's still attacking you, so you still have to defend yourself. Then you can deal with that stuff later. But one thing I noticed in the situation was the police showed up. So I said to him, the cop come up there, and he said, do you want to press charges on this person for assaulting you? And I said, not really. I just want him out of my house. It was almost like a motivation to say, I don't really want to do anything to him because I know what's up. But if you could take him and get him off the property and get him out of here so he never comes back again, I think that would solve the problem for everybody, where he can deal with his situation and I'll deal with mine. But when those opportunities happen, you need to follow through with them. Because when you don't, they have consequences of their own too as well. I'm not trying to say anything harsh, but I just feel like there's a lot of things around there that could actually tap on a lot of those things that we're talking about. Because, I mean, for one incident, I was with a girl who was actually a woman who was pretty abusive, really, realistically. But I had a tendency to sit there and look at the good in everybody. And I just felt like in the situation, I thought it was going to work itself out. Well, it didn't do that. And it came to a very violent point where she actually grabbed me by the hair of the head, and then she beat me with, she took her fist and beat the hell out of me. Now, did it hurt me? No. That wasn't the point. The point was, if you look at a situation of being a little disappointed, or we could say a little bit hurt, of somebody actually taking that kind of action on you because you never thought this person would do this thing. But in the process of this, this is the consequences that if I would have followed through with what I really wanted to do, it might have had a different outcome. But I didn't do that because I felt like a person just needed to know that what she, her perceptions were wrong. That it does, if you're a woman, if you assault someone, it's okay. And if I would have called the cops and followed through with the whole thing, then her perception would have been a little bit different. Probably would have been a different outcome. But I didn't do that. And it just seemed like that relationship after that point didn't do anything like get worse, because I knew for a fact I needed to do that one thing that could have turned things around. But I didn't do that. So I can look at the situation of a person being a bad person, but I have to also look at myself, because I made a decision not to do it when I should have. So I wasn't listening to myself. In other situations, I have listened to myself after that learning experience. I followed through with a lot of things that most people look at as being mean and cruel, but it was the truth and it had to be done. So I feel that's the one thing I keep getting with your life, is you just need to follow through with what you know you need to do. And some of these people that you're talking about, in some sense of words, I don't even feel like you're even responsible
for their happiness, but if for some reason they seem to be trying to put you in that position to blame everybody else, when it doesn't go that way.
Yeah, well, my son is kind of, he's kind of seeing things that a little different way now that, you know, he's gotten himself into some trouble. He's looking at it as more of a learning experience, and now he's trying to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
So my daughter, she lives with me. She's pregnant. She's abusing prescription meds. And she just, I mean, she whacks out. She goes stupid. I mean, I don't even know how to explain it. She's mad at me because I'm still, it hasn't even been a year since I've lost my 21-year-old.
Hold on for a second.
Okay.
We got 60 seconds. I just want to thank everybody who called in tonight and everybody in the chat room. Thank you for all being here. And thank everybody listening who hasn't called in. And just give a good old thank you for tuning the shows. And our shows have been really off the scale successful, so keep it up. And thank you all out there for all your support. Also, the situation, we changed this freaking fund I had was going to Manitou Springs, Colorado, but now it's just the idea of going home fund. My angels came to me and said, just change it to going home fund, so therefore I can just go home where home is at. And also, it helps support the show. And for every donation you give, we thank you. And if, like I told people before, if you just want to give a nice donation for a reading, that's fine too. Whatever works for you. Donations can be anything they want. But therefore, thank you all for being out there, and we got like 10 seconds left in the show. But if you're on the queue, stay right there. We'll get to you, and thank God, and may God and the angels bless you every minute of every day. And so with your situation you're talking about, what would you think to be the best thing you should do in your course of action?
Well, number one, I'm calling her psychiatrist and telling him that if he prescribes her one more pill, I'm going to be taking drastic action against him. Because
mm-hmm.
the one medicine that she takes, she doesn't even need to be on because she's pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And this could damage the baby. And I don't know
right.
what the great extent, but I just know she shouldn't be taking that medicine because she is pregnant. She
okay,
got mad
cool.
at me today. And trust me, she was really wasted today.
Mm-hmm.
And she got mad at me and accused me of mourning my son too long when it's not even been a year since my son has been gone.
Okay.
And, I mean, you know, that's not her, it's not her place to tell me how long to mourn my son, because I'm going to mourn him forever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was my baby. That was her brother. I'm going to mourn him for the rest of my life. And I told her that, and I said, you know, you need to get over it. You've got a baby that you're carrying that you need to think about what you're doing to this child. And when she's not on these meds, she's an entirely different person. She's like she's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, I am calling her psychiatrist, and I am telling him if he prescribes her one more pill, he and I are going to have a day in court.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is that I don't want to have to put her out because she is pregnant. And my granddaughter, which is her older daughter, who is 11, lives with me and doesn't trust her mom right now.
Mm-hmm.
But if I put her out, then she's going to take my granddaughter with her, and neither one of them really have a place to go right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm stuck. I mean, I really am stuck. I don't know.
Well, I'm just saying with the situation, sometimes we have to put blame where blame is. Where blame belongs. So we look at situations with people not having places to go, but are we looking at certain situations of consequences of their actions playing themselves out?
Well, one of the consequences of her actions could be that something could be wrong with this child which she's carrying because of what she's doing.
All right. No, I understand what you're saying. See, one thing that's hard about anything, I had to do the same thing with my daughters, is the idea of them getting themselves in a situation where they actually might get themselves killed. And you sit and look at the situation. If it happens, it happens because you've tried. And you sit there and you got to sit there and really trust what you've done with the idea of raising them in the first place. So if they put themselves in situations, the only reason they're there and the only reason these things happen is because of their actions and not yours.
Well, that's
true. Because people sit there and say the whole thing, you got to let your daughter live with you because she's your daughter. No, you don't. You sit and put in perspective and say, okay, I'm sorry, dear, but see, you've done things that has put you here that you need to deal with. Until they're actually put in those positions to deal with those things, they're going to keep happening over and over again. So therefore, you don't put yourself in a position of becoming an enabler. So that's what you're doing. So when you sit and look at the situation, you're like, okay, I'm sorry, but you have to put time frames on this. And with the people you got living with you and that kind of thing that should be on their own, realistically, the information I get is you should give them a month to get that to go. That's the ideal, certain things that they can actually do for themselves to put them in situations. And I understand the idea of granddaughters and that kind of stuff, and I've been in situations too. But in the process of living our lives, those things might not be a part of them, but it's not because of the things that we've done, really. Not really. I mean, think about it. I mean, with my granddaughters, the biggest thing that drove me crazy was the idea of not being away from them too. But it's just the idea of making sure those things happen. And right now, with the situations where they are, I can go to Colorado and go to where I want to when I want to see my grandkids and that kind of stuff. It's just the idea of making the plans and doing it, just like anything else. Because when we're here in the vicinity of the whole thing, I mean, shoot, I've had things with my daughter where I haven't seen her in months. Did it drive me crazy? No. When they did come into town, it was the idea of focusing on giving quality when they were around, not quantity. So we sit here and look at these situations that you're in. That's what I'm saying. Sometimes it's really hard to put yourself in those positions and go, okay, I got to make decisions to do these things for the people because they refuse to get up their own butts and do anything about it. If you have a granddaughter, I keep getting a granddaughter, with the idea of being the ones that's pregnant, that might have some damage with the whole thing of all the things that's going on. We need to sit there and look at the situation. When we ask for protection of ourselves with working with our angels and guides, we can also do that with other things too, especially in situations of a child who has no way of protecting himself. Okay?
Okay.
But I feel like the situation of asking God and the angels to actually protect that child would happen as soon as somebody actually invoked that prayer itself, to the point where it would be done. Okay?
Okay.
A lot of people because I sort of tell people all the time, I want you to do that. Do you need to watch the freaking news and all this craziness to pray for the world to be a better place? No, you don't.
No. Nope.
And that's the hidden agenda, or the thing I look at where people have a tendency to do certain things to bring all this negativity in their lives, where it's like, we're all told that you need to do this. I mean, right now, I was sitting watching these insurance companies and these stupid ads they got on television where they said, if you don't have insurance, life's, it's like this going through life, and they got this guy going around kicking people in the privates. Bam! You're like, see, this is what it's like when you don't have insurance. I'm like, I'm getting really tired of this because it's like extortion. Because I've actually driven 3 years without no driver's license, without no freaking insurance, no nothing. Did everything ever happen to me? No, I asked for protection. So it never would happen to me. So insurance to me, back in the day, it was called extortion with the mafia. Okay, guys? No. Just because it's norm, as we claim it in this lifetime, that's why you can't get caught up in the worldly thing. You got to put yourself in a position of spirituality, which in turn says decisions have to be made. I mean, if you look in the Bible, there were some decisions that had to be made too that had some really bad consequences. And I look at the situation of some of the people you got here that bad things might happen to them. But you look in the situation of the thing that happened to Jesus dying on the cross, there was a positive outcome. So what it's basically saying is all of our situations that we think are so ways we can't get around, they're saying they're always positive outcomes if we just sit there and look at the situation of following our heart, what we need to do. what we know is best for everybody concerned. And just because the people that don't think that are going to follow through with it, somebody does. And it seems like you're always put in that position because it seems like you're the one that really has the strength to do it. And sometimes you don't. And you sit there and say, I love these people, and I'm not saying you don't. But you also have had times where you're like, I knew I should have done it differently. I knew it would have been a whole lot different outcome.
So it's like being put in a position now where you can actually do those things. And a lot of people are not going to like it, but it's definitely going to have a really positive outcome, the whole thing, of people actually learning how to stand on their own 2 feet. All right?
Yep. Well, she's going to have to do that. You know, I'm at the end of my rope.
Mm-hmm.
With it all, I mean,
absolutely.
You know, I've had it. I'm done.
Well, we look at the situation. Your rope's got, like, what, 4 people hanging from it?
Yep.
So it's almost like mountain climbing. You get into a situation, there are some people that when the rope is about ready to, you know, gets into a situation where there's somebody hanging from the whole thing, and they know for a fact that they got to let go in favor of survival for the others. And these people, if you look at the situation, it's kind of like a little backwards because they just refused to do what they know they need to do too. So they're not following their hearts, but somebody has to put them, someone has to. And when you do that, it's going to, yeah, these other things will correct themselves too. The people involved will not see it that way. Not yet. But they never will if they're not put out there.
Well, that's true. I have to agree with that.
They're not put in those positions. They never will. My mom put me in a situation where I slammed the door once, and she told me flat out if I slammed that door one more time, I was going to be walking home. Well, guess what? I had to walk home. But see, mm-hmm. I didn't sit on the freaking on the street corner going, I can't go home because I refused to walk. No, I was pretty pissed anyway. But I walked. I was going to prove to her that I could go home anyway without her. See, that's what she was doing in the first place, trying to get me to stand on my own 2 feet.
Right.
Literally, stand on my own 2 feet. And see, at one point in my life, actually put me in a position where instead of laying down, in some sense of the word, I'm not saying there wasn't some places and some times in my life where I did anyway, but I'm just saying when you go back to those one point, there are motivational points that put you out there and say, well, my mom did this to me. And now I see why. And then from that point on, they start looking for solutions instead of saying, this is the way life is. I can't do this. I can't do that. What are you talking about? I got to do it. And then you start realizing that one experience they had, like, hold on. My mom told me that this, and she did this to me, but she also put me in a position where I learned how to take care of myself. So it brings them back to those points where they go, okay, I guess I'm laying down again. I got to get up and make a difference because all these decisions that happened in my life is because of what I did or didn't do, not because of her. She's not a bad person. And they'll see that. They just don't see it now. All righty?
Yep. I have to agree with that totally.
I mean, you know, if you want to, we're having a show Friday and Saturday. If you want to bring the whole family, we can talk to all of them. All right?
Yep.
Because I haven't had a situation with relationships before where I saw 2 people that could be together, but no one would take the step. Give me the phone, I'll call him. You know, get the ball rolling. So if you want to bring them to the show Friday or Saturday night and get them on the air and actually sit there so they can hear for themselves, I have no problem with that.
Okay.
All righty?
That's wonderful. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. And thank you for calling in.
All right.
And you have a great night, okay?
All right. You too, hon. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
Let's go on to our next caller. That'll be area code 415. Welcome to the show, and how are you?
Oh, my goodness. You were so compassionate. Can you
thank
hear me?
You. Yes.
You're just marvelous. You're just absolutely marvelous. I could feel that you really wanted to help. Wow.
Yeah,
I'm impressed. I think
you
did. I think she heard you.
Yeah, and we always tell people sometimes with the situations of saying those things to people, it's kind of hard to... Some people have a hard time saying those things because they're scared of hurting people's feelings. But, you know, when you look at the situation, realistically,
well,
if you're telling the truth, yeah, you're not trying
not
to hurt
frightening
anybody.
Not as frightening as staying in it.
Yeah, because, I mean, seriously, you know, I've been in situations and it's like when I'm doing these readings for people, it's just like my angels have a tendency to point out things that I've gone through and say, okay, in a situation like this, if you would have had somebody who could have actually been there for you, you think this one situation would have gone as long as it did, someone would have just turned and said, hey, this is what you need to do. Instead of putting in a position, because a lot of people are sitting there going, this is what you got to do. You got to kick them out. You just got to kick them out. And you're like, okay, I don't want to. But then you're saying, someone would just take it one step further and go, okay, what you need to do is what you know you need to do.
what's for the best interest of them and the best interest of you. I think when
Removing somebody's dignity.
Yeah, instead of saying just kick them out, like, you know, no, there's no passion in that, and there's no compassion at all, where you said it would just throw them out. And I told people, I've had people live with me before where it's just like, I'd rather have them with me, I'd rather deal with their bull crap than to see them out in the snow, but not realizing that. Then I would realize later on the reason they would even be in those positions is because of their decisions and the actions of them, their consequences playing out. So therefore, if we don't put them in those positions to do those things, they're never going to learn how to take care of themselves and stay on their own 2 feet. I mean, shoot, my mom told me to walk home. Jeez.
Yeah. You're absolutely correct. And, you know, it's like everyone has that in their family to some extent. There's somebody who does everything, complains about everyone who doesn't. And there's those who don't do anything and complains about everyone who does.
Yeah, it's the same thing with the relationships, too. You know, when you sit and look at the situation and you have a person who comes in, the whole thing is confused because they're sitting there going, well, this is how I feel about you, and this is how I care about you, and the other person is basically attacking them. But I think one person I was dealing with was just the idea of taking a step back and going, okay, if we're going to say we're loving, caring people, then we have to go through that as well. And if you feel true to yourself and you're sitting there going, this relationship I need to sit here and express how I feel. And in the process, you're saying, honestly, if you're doing that for the purpose of just expressing yourself, then you need to do that because therefore you're not being true to yourself. But there's a lot of people who have a tendency, like I've heard people call and I want to call this person, I want to do this, I want to do that. And all it is a fear that if they don't do those things, then nothing's going to happen, not realizing more likely the realistic part about those things is the less you do, the more reaction you get from those people because they're actually being able enough. They don't feel rebellious. They don't feel anything. They just want to do it. And it's the same thing with these situations because what we're trying to do is just trying to say, and I just feel right now it's just one of those things with relationships too because I've actually had a lot of things with people lately, like last night, where people were saying, well, I had this person I was with, and all I want is the best for them and the situation, but they're being so angry with me. And I always tell people, if a person looks you in the face and says, I have no feelings for you, that they're angry with you, isn't that like a contradicted thing to say, I have no feelings for you, and then being angry? Which we all know, anger is an emotion. So that's a contradiction. And you know, from that point on, see what I'm saying? When you follow your heart and you see it, for as clear as it is, you see the anger. And you know for a fact, if a person's telling you that I have no emotions or I don't care for you no more, 100% gone. The reason I kicked in and said, this is what I believe, because that's what I saw. I saw a person who still feels as deep as she did when we were together. And the same thing with a lot of other relationships I saw where you can see that very deeply. And the reason you see it is because of the anger. And people think that's kind of crazy.
What did they say? Yeah. Anger and wrath is equal to the amount that they love? Yeah.
Yeah, because it's like this. They have this plan. They have this preconceived plan in their head. This is how life goes. And all of a sudden, something came in their life that actually proved that wrong. And now they've got to sit there and change their perception on the whole thing of realizing, I thought I knew what love was, but now it's not. And since it doesn't, I'm angry at you for changing my perception. So that's what you get anger towards. So it's like, okay, I don't like you. And my friends say that too. And I said, yes, but more than likely your friends and your... See, when I sit there and tell people, especially in relationships, you got to let go of your past, no matter if it's good or bad. I said, why? Because it interferes with your future with the new person, because the new person is coming in your life. If you sit there and said that I want things the way they're supposed to be and I want a new life, it's not going to be anything like you where you came from, right?
And then I want to change and I want a new life. And then someone comes in and does it and they go, I don't want to change.
Yeah, exactly. They don't realize. They said, well, my friends and family are very important to me. Yes, they are, because that's what's anchoring you to the past, that you refuse to give up. And this is what you're going to do. You're going to keep doing this cycle over and over until you realize that one person that came in your life, that's where you're supposed to be at. That's why you were, every time that person came into your life, that's why you were confused. The reason you're confused is because that was the one, and that's where you should be at, and that's where you want to be at. This other thing that you've got preconceived here is something that you're familiar with, that you're really, you know, it's something that you're comfortable with. And you don't realize that you've, yes?
You're going right to the point that I was asking tonight.
Of course. So
that is really funny. That's really funny because I'd like to interject this little story because this is the perfect point of what you're making. The other day, my husband had a couple days ago a reading with you. the next morning we got up and I said, you know, we're in a tough situation, but here's the thing. You all go on ahead and I'll catch up with you. I'll try to resolve the situation and I'll catch up.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm kind of stuck in a ditch with it. And, you know, until I get some clarity of how I could close this up, but go ahead. So this
right.
morning, my daughter gets up and she's telling a story about in school, they got new iPads. And
mm-hmm.
she says, Mom, and like I wanted to hear this like a hole in the head, right? So
right.
she starts to tell me that the first thing she saw on her iPad was a little squirrel in a ditch saying to the other squirrel, you go on ahead. So
yeah.
I started howling because she's a little crystal kid. She's just amazing, you know? And
mm-hmm.
I just immediately thought that, well, maybe you're getting confirmation for your husband to go ahead. But then I thought, oh, my God, maybe it was to both of us to move ahead.
Yeah.
So I was like, what is my guides trying to tell me? Are they confirming that he should or not? But, you know, it wasn't until an afterthought I thought maybe it was saying for both of us to go. And I think that's the thing. Sometimes you get a message about going, and you think if
mm-hmm.
it's somebody else.
Right.
You know, and it's exactly what you said, you know, making changes or doing things, and you think, you know, well, somebody else is supposed to change not or go, not me. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's exactly what I was going to ask tonight about what my angels or guides are telling me, because I feel like, you know, I need some light on this, on what the solution is. And that message
mm-hmm.
came in about the squirrel saying, go on
right.
ahead.
Well, that's one thing I used to sit there and tell people. So you might hear me tell a story if I said, you better listen, because my angels and guides have a tendency to deliver those messages in many forms. And a lot of times I've done this for so long that they actually, you know, we go through stories because they help people understand that, well, here's a person who's actually going through those things too as well. And I'm actually experiencing that right now. So therefore the information comes across. But you also notice that a lot of information that comes along, it's also a lot of spiritual information too as well. So it's just all one big picture, but the stories are about as important as the information because they're actually intermingled with each other.
And that's how we adults learn, too.
Yeah, I was sitting there, you know, the big thing I was sitting there going over too, it was like really hard to deal with was the situation of just letting go. And letting go is the hardest thing, and it's not, but it is. It's because it's the ideal that we're constantly working on letting go of the fears that come up that we never realize that we're still with us. So
yeah, and I'm just wondering if I have any blind spots about anything or something I haven't been able to hear or
mm-hmm.
bringing some light. You know, if my angels have anything to say to bring some light into the situation that I could hear. I think I could hear it now.
Okay. And they say you just did. So that's like, there's a lot of things in the situation that we just repeat. We just sit there and say to you, and I feel like in the situation that as I'm sitting there, with the information coming out, where you feel like it's touching so many people that are actually listening, you know, that's when they was picking up of the situation because it was very important because of the things that people hang on to, realizing that the reason they're hanging on to those things is because they just won't let go of the past. The past is like one of those fears. If we don't, then we have a tendency we're scared we're going to repeat those things if we don't hang on to them, not realizing that's exactly what we're doing. We're repeating all these things because we're still hanging on to the forms that caused them in the first place, so therefore we have perfect images in our minds, in our subconscious mind, that actually the negativity can actually latch onto and go, well, hey, look at this. We already have a nice little pattern here, so let's just reproduce this. This is easy. And it will. So that's the ideal. I was saying before with the situation you were talking about, because I got this really strong image when you were talking, you go on it. Go on without me. And the most confusing thing I would see in a situation like that is, we're supposed to be doing this together.
Well, I know that, but, you know, we've had other times where we've taken off, you know, there were times when my parents were dying, where my husband took the car and I took my father by plane, and, you know, I said, I'll just meet mm-hmm. you there. So,
right.
you know, it just felt very similar to that. It wasn't any martyrdom or anything. It was just, let me wrap it up, and it was more figurative than literally. You
well,
know, like...
Yeah.
I'm just wondering what my angels have to say, because I'm not sure who was telling me the message.
Okay. I'm just saying the thing comes to me the close. The one thing that comes across the strongest is the ideal that, like I said at the earlier show, it just keeps saying over and over again. And I keep getting this very strong, that you need to follow your heart. That's the one thing that they keep saying, that sometimes in situations, and I understand what they're saying too, because I've seen people in situations, there are certain things that you follow your angels, you follow your heart, and there's other situations they believe they don't. Not realizing there's no difference. You do it all the time. If you don't do it, that's when you get yourself in trouble. It's the idea of listening to the ego, which is the mind, instead of following your heart and allowing your mind to spiritually catch up and realize they'll be on the same page. And that's why I keep getting. That was the one thing they're talking about. It could be blindsiding solutions sometimes. It was the idea of realizing there are certain times that you don't do that. They want you to continue to realize it. It's for every little thing that you do in your life. Even if it's just the idea of going to the bathroom.
Well, it's funny because everybody keeps trying to push me on doing these things urgently. And I'm just like, I'm just not sure.
Well, see, they're saying that you are sure. But it's the idea of not offending people, when that's exactly what you need to do to help them understand that it's okay to give advice. It's okay to tell people things that you think they should do, but you should also have the respect and let them make their own decision to do what they got to do. I feel like there's a certain person that I know that has a tendency to let people keep pushing her and pushing her and pushing her all the time where they don't respect her. And I was trying not to put myself in that position to do that, where I was just saying, I understand you would see that with me in some sense of the word because of the influences of the people that are around you. That you would see me as a person who's trying to do those things, when actually it's the idea of speaking one mind and following the heart and saying, no, to tell you the truth, this is exactly why I do what I do. I follow my heart, and I said, this is exactly how I feel about you. This is how I feel about you. The essence of who you are, this is how I feel about you. Now, some people thought it was a little strong, because I sit here and told her flat out. I wrote it, and I said, I love you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. I love you. That's the truth. I cannot see it any other way, but it has nothing to do. You don't have to do anything. It's just to sit here and tell you that there's been somebody that you've crossed paths with in this lifetime who loves you for who you are. You know you are a pain in the butt sometimes. You know you have a tendency to be opinionated about certain things. They still love you because that's who you are. And that's what I'm saying with the situation of putting yourself in situations and saying, I just love this person. I love this person because if in some sense of the word you take the negative traits away, he would still only have half a person. So the idea of looking at the situation and saying we want to love people unconditionally, we love ourselves, and I'm sure we don't have things about ourselves we don't like, but what we do like loving ourselves is we have a tendency to look at those things and we work on changing those things. We work within ourselves, okay? And it's the idea, I guess in some sense, we're helping people understand too that if we're on the same mutual understanding, there's some of these things that are coming to the forefront that you've been wanting to work on yourself, and they're still coming to come up there, and there's always tactful ways to approach those things, and it's the way the whole thing is. And coming to a point of being that way, it makes you feel good about yourself. It's just the idea of expression. Now, like I said before, I always tell people, I'm not saying you have to do anything. This is just the way I am. This is how I feel, and this is what I've always seen by following my heart. I've always seen positive outcomes to everything, even if it wasn't the outcome that I wanted.
Well, it's really funny you say that, because I actually wanted to follow my heart and withdraw. Walk away. And I kind of got into a meditation with my mother, and who's deceased, and she was like, no, please stay with it. And I'm like, well, you're kind of the one who wanted me in it in the first place. But it's like, you know, my heart a couple of months ago said, you know, walk away from this. Walk away from this. And, you know, everybody's like, well, you can't walk away, and you can't, you know. There's no way for you to get out of this.
Sure you can. I mean, that's one thing I was sort of putting the message out for. I feel like there's people out there listening to the same thing. They're sitting there saying, I have to do certain things. And you're like, no, you don't have to do anything. You can walk away from the situation you're in right now and go get what you want. You can go do what you want or go be who you want.
So could you tell me what my guides feel about me actually withdrawing and walking away?
They think you're actually keeping
yourself. What their advice is?
The thing I get is the advice to walk away. And I get the impression why you need to walk away, because on the idea of focusing on one opportunity and walking away from that one, what most people would see it as, ooh, that's an opportunity. What would you rather do? Jump on one or actually be able to choose between four? And then I get the idea.
Okay,
of
I missed that.
Okay.
What were the? I missed what you said. What were the? The phone broke up a little bit.
What do you want to do? Do you want to focus on the one opportunity, or you want to let this one go in favor of four more coming?
Well, this is not an opportunity. This is a nightmare.
I know
I
what you're saying.
I want to walk away.
I'm just saying about the idea of walking away. It's almost like this. Okay, you look at it as okay. It's almost like okay, this is a big old mud garden. I don't want to deal with this. Sure, I can make a lot out of this whole thing. But now what I look at
it... I didn't make the most out of it. It's done.
No. What I'm saying is it's like looking at it. Okay, by putting yourself into the situation, I'm sure if somebody wants you to go into this thing, it's because you could probably make something more positive out of it. Or something. I mean, I don't know why you're going into it. I'm just saying with the situation, the one thing they say is like, who cares? They just say walk away because there's just something more behind it that would be something that
more
delay. I'm just saying, I see four positive opportunities coming after it. And the idea of putting yourself in that situation is the idea of what's the outcome?
Well, I feel a lot of new things are coming in, and I need to get out of this. You know, one thing is holding it up. And, you know, you can say it's a belief, but it's like, it's not... It's the belief did not come first. The knowing came first, and then the belief.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
No. Yes, it does. Because that was like I said before. I mean, I just saw numbers. I thought walk away, and then to the point of trying to explain or trying to understand it was just the idea of mud hole, which means we don't go there.
Well, you're really nice to say mud hole. We've called it a septic tank.
Okay. But when I said
it's a sewer tank, you know. And it's toxic. And, you know, I keep feeling like, gee, you know, a couple of months ago I wanted to withdraw.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody said, well, you really can't withdraw because you're still going to have to be in charge of it anyway. And I was like, no, I think it would help put a barrier up.
Mm-hmm.
And I really feel like some fantastic opportunities are just waiting there. Do you see what's around that?
No, that's what I'm saying. That's what I was really saying, that you need to walk away. We sit and look at the situation and go, because it's like looking at the influence. And they're going to keep saying what they're saying. It's just like the idea of needs to be reaffirmed a couple more times and say, no, don't go there. Because you're right. There's these other opportunities. You feel it, you know it, and, you know, it's just one
of
those things.
Yeah, I do know it. Do you see
that
it would do any harm to me to walk away? Because people keep telling me it would.
That's a worldly thing. Nothing can hurt you. That's their perception.
You know, I keep getting that it's probably the best thing I can do, but I seem to be the only one who feels that way.
That's true. That's why you have to sit there. Like I was saying before, you also get things like this in relationships where people are around you constantly saying, what I would do if I was you, I wouldn't do this. You know,
but you're not me. Yeah.
Yes. All this recourse, all this stuff's going to happen. If you take off with that certain person, okay, listen to this. When they go off, they're saying, okay, if you go off that certain person, all these bad things are going to happen to you. Remember how it happened like this time? Da, 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 da. Now, see, these are the people who are talking to you because of all the things that you were focusing on before that actually manifested this situation. And this situation came with people and circumstances and their perceptions. But like I said before, like a relationship, I guarantee you, if you go where you think you should go, okay, especially in these situations when you got so many people talking you out of it, or talking you down, or they're giving you, they're telling you things, maybe from personal experiences or whatever.
Well, everybody keeps telling me if I walk away, it'll make it longer,
right.
It'll get it more involved, and I'm like, so what? I could do it from
a distance. Yeah. And once you get more involved in the whole thing, then it gets harder and harder to walk away. And even though you still can, I'm just saying when it comes to those relationships, you ever notice those people that are really, really happy? If you start to look at those situations what they came through to get there, they had a little. Probably the people that are around them giving them advice more likely to let them behind because they were only seeing things through their own perceptions. Plus, if you think about it, they're still part of that situation that you used to live, and they're still part of this situation. So, therefore,
It's like look at the situation of all the people that you might not see or might never cross paths again, or you might cross paths, but it won't be for a while, but it just seems like selective.
But the only thing I can tell for sure is that when I'm connected to Source and I absolutely know, I'm not taking a poll from anyone.
No, no, that's what I'm saying too, because a lot of people come to me too and say, this is what you need to do with the situation here. And I get advice from other psychics too who come to me and say, okay, with your situation, what you need to do this. I said, great, that's what I need to do, and there's some really good influence and there's a good advice. But I also have to listen to my own guidance that comes across and say, at this moment, do this, and this is what's going to happen. So therefore, you listen. Yeah. And so there's always that going on. But
I have one last question for you, because I know you probably have some other callers, but my last question for you would be, is there anything that I'm anything else that I'm missing or anything that I haven't been able to see?
No.
Or anything that remains in the dark on this?
No. I get that. One thing I get the most is just this one situation needs to be let go. And that seems to basically be contributed to a lot of, as you call it, blind sides and stuff like that. But once this is cleared out, then everything becomes very clear. All right.
Well, I kind of missed that. You're saying, can you say that again?
I said the root of the problem here is this one situation that I feel like it's also rooted to some of those blind spots that you're talking about. And once this situation, and once you walk away from it, then everything will be so clear.
Oh, yeah. Right. Well, you know, jealousy and rage and stuff like that always have a blind spot. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think if I can just say, you know, that's enough. Let somebody else
mm-hmm.
handle it, you know?
Yeah, I'm serious. All
right.
I just feel like once you let go of that whole situation, I just feel like once you just got to make a decision to move on, but once you start following through with it, you'll start seeing what we're talking about.
Yeah. Do you know who sent the message with the squirrels?
Who sent the message to the squirrel?
The squirrel that said move on or go on?
The squirrel.
I wondered if it was my father.
Okay, how about this? I get a name associated with it, and I keep getting Michael.
Is it the Archangel Michael?
I was sitting there looking at the whole thing, and it said Archangel Michael, but it's almost like you got this impression where there's also a similarity to a person named Michael. But I was still, cool. But sometimes when I see situations like that, it also depends what kind of relationship you got with Archangel Michael too.
With the what person, Michael? I'm sorry, your phone
breaks up. I got Archangel Michael, who came across with a message, but I also got somebody who would be like Archangel Michael to you that could have been in physical form.
I wonder if it's Bernie.
Huh?
I'm Bernie. I have a friend of mine, Bernie. I'm wondering if it was him.
Bernie?
Bernie or Tony, maybe.
No, I got a yes with I got Tony in my head now. Thanks. No, I get yes with Bernie.
Okay.
But there's definitely a really strong connection between the two. You know what I'm saying? Archangel Michael.
Archangel Michael, I call on daily to make sure I'm protected.
Well, like I said before, there's definitely a strong connection there, so that's what I feel like. But like I said before, it came across like that, where it was this strong similarity, where it's, you know, somebody would see that. So Bernie, definitely, when you sit there and say, well, Bernie was a very definitely quick answer, yes.
Okay, so Bernie's still, I haven't talked to him in a few months, he's still on physical form, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. He's still, but still, we can still put the energy out there, and how we
know. He was like a second father to me. His wife Norma was like a second mom to me. I was
mm-hmm.
very lucky. I had great parents, and I had great lineup of their friends as parents too.
Mhm.
Very, very fortunate. Anyway, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. You're wonderful.
Well, thank you.
And I really appreciate. Pardon me?
Yeah, I said great. And then, and you and your husband, I'd love to sit down and do a reading for you guys.
Oh, my God, yeah. He was so excited when you did a reading for him because you told him he was in World War II and he got blown off of a boat in 1945. And he got off the phone. He said there wasn't any bombings to any battleships in 1945. Maybe it's supposed to be 1944. He wanted me to ask you the name of the battleship.
Oh. Hmm. Maybe it was. I don't know. I get 45, and I also told him that in the process of being 45 and the war coming to an end, doesn't mean there wasn't conflict. They were still going on. Who never got that word? As quick as most of us would have got, because we're down the ocean.
Oh, he's such a history buff. So he thought maybe instead of December, maybe it was January or February.
Well, go back to the point where John F. Kennedy got blown out of his freaking boat.
On PT-73?
Yeah, because that, to me, is the key to actually finding out the information he's looking for. Now, I'm not really sure what year that was. I'm just saying when you said
well,
that.
Well, I'll have him give you a call because he was very excited about all that. He's a real history buff. And I said, well, I don't blame you. You've been in every war.
Right. But I sit there and go, yeah, we went over that, too, because I was like 45 and 14.
It was,
you know,
like
was
1902, 1916, 1945. He was in every single war. And then he gets to Vietnam and he's a conscientious objector.
Well,
I said maybe he got sick of it. Pardon me?
Well, it could be also one of those things where he had gone through so many of those things to be in that position, that final position, which made sense with all the knowledge that he has.
Yeah, he kind of gets that. I actually felt like we were married in Europe before.
You know, I get that too. I keep getting a real strong. I get a strong connection to France.
You know, it's funny because you told him something about dying in France. He was a German soldier dying in France, and I said the only two countries you've been to in Europe were Germany and France.
That's wild.
Is that hysterical?
Yeah.
He went to Germany in the 1972 Olympics. He was in the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to France because he's a musician and he performed with the National Conservatory of Music there. So it's really funny that the two countries he's been to is Germany and France.
I remember him because I told him to focus on his music.
Yeah.
Yeah. Focus on the music. You still there?
Yes.
Yeah, because that was kind of going to be very gifted. He said he's never really had time to really focus.
Yeah. Well, it's all coming now. That's why we kind of want to end this and move on.
Gotcha.
Anyway,
well, like
thank you. Huh?
Yeah, keep up. Yeah, actually, yeah, you're right. Just keep up. Keep in touch. Yeah, get back with me. I'd love to do a reading for both you guys together or wherever you want to do it. And then definitely give us a call back and tell us how things go.
Well, thank you so much, and I'll tell you, of all the things that really come across, your compassion and you giving out as much love as you do is a real gift.
Thank you.
All right. Well, have a great night, and thank you.
You're welcome. You have a great night.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Let's go into we have two callers left in the queue, too. I just want to sit here and say thanks for your patience, for waiting. And we're going to go to area code 706. And also there's another one in the queue, area code 302. I don't know if you've pushed the one, you get on the air and not. But if we run out of time, I always sit and tell people, I have a tendency to call people back after the show to answer their questions. So it's one of those situations, if you like to, you know, if you'd like you to call for me, great. I'll be calling you. If you don't answer, I'll understand that you don't want to talk, that you want to do on the air. And please give us a call back on Friday. On our show, we start at 11:30 on Fridays and Saturdays, where we do nothing but readings. We do topics from time to time, especially when it comes to relationships, and one of our shows take on a topic of its own. That's the way it goes. Area code 706, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hi, I'm calling from Georgia.
Georgia, we've had a couple of people from Georgia tonight. I was looking at your phone number, too. It was 706. I was looking it up in the book.
Yeah, that's Northeast Georgia.
I'm just kind of curious about it. What's that? I'm sorry.
That's in Northeast Georgia.
Okay, well, I was looking you up in the Angel Book.
Oh, okay.
So 706 in the Angel Book means you're headed in the right direction in your life, especially the financial and the home area.
Wow. Well, that's what I was calling about, so I guess it's good, huh?
Yeah, exactly. So I always tell people one thing you need to listen to, and the idea of listening to the messages and the angels as I'm giving out the message and this stuff is the idea of what people say when they hear these things. How close we're hitting the whole thing. I mean, that last lady was just, like, blown away because I started telling her, focusing on this one little area in the story and stuff like that, went right along with what she was asking. And so it's like getting an answer without even asking the question. So, you know, it must be something going on here. Huh? And we just wish everybody else would just sit here and take the step and go, follow your heart. What's going to happen? The truth. That's what's going to happen. And if you're not following your heart, there's a lot of signs pointing out to the whole thing, especially if you're angry or frustrated about anything. It means that there's something about the situation you're in at that moment needs to be looked at. And also, I always sit here and say, reevaluate the situation of certain people or certain situations that stimulate that, or some people would say irritate you. I look at a stimulation as saying, okay, why did that person make you feel a certain way? Or why did that situation or going to that place, what did they bring up from you? Because they happened for a reason. There has to be something within you that's tapping on, that you're not happy about, that you're not happy with. That one, maybe it's like this, like a house, you know, or a boyfriend or girlfriend that you had before that you were so happy with, and you probably decided to walk away from the whole thing because you didn't feel like it was the right course of action. And then this person, every time you come in contact with them, you get angry. Like we were talking before, the anger is coming from a perception because here's a person who just unconditionally just does the things that you want to do, or it's a house that you love. And I just feel like with the situation, the reason that person's irritated because, well, there's a house I really want, but I can't have it. Well, take the limitation off of it and say, okay, how can you obtain that house? Maybe, see, I've noticed this, one thing about finances and careers and all this kind of stuff. People have this preconceived way of looking at things because the world says so. You have to go to college to become that. You got to do this to do that. Or you got to be a certain way. You got to be a certain intelligence. Like, for example, if you're a very talented painter, a lot of times the reason you haven't really stepped out and done your abstract work or done something that you really wanted to do is because people around you, what would they think if I did that? Not realizing if you're thinking that way, then you're letting them basically make decisions in your life indirectly. Careers, people say, well, I don't know if I'm actually qualified to do that. My thing is, if you are being guided to do anything from your guides and angels, they can see things that you cannot because there's no restriction. There's no influences. The angels don't have brothers and sisters who say you're an idiot, okay? They don't. They have all these entities around them that always say positive things. They're always looking for ways to make your life better, happier, joyful. They don't have these influences like we do where we have little things we've gone through. Even with relationships, if people would realize one thing, maybe if you did save yourself until marriage, you wouldn't have all these exes to deal with that keep popping back in your life to make you think about the person you're with. You won't have any kind of influences or any kind of distractions or any kind of blockages because none of that stuff will be existing. But we have a tendency to go, I know how to do this. I'm going to do it my own way. And then we have to deal with these things, which I feel like is great with spirituality, with some of the things and meditations and techniques to get rid of those things. But in the situation, especially careers, I've seen so many people out there keep saying, well, I have so much problem, like financial problems. What's the problem? You're not following your heart. And they go, well, I have to do something. You know, I got to have a job. I got to work 40 hours a week, blah, 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 blah. I feel like I'm an episode of Charlie Brown. And I'm trying to be insensitive. It's the idea of looking at those people going, listen to you talk. You keep reaffirming the same thing over. At the same time, you want something different to happen. How can that happen? If you're going to sit there and keep reaffirming, you know? Because I've heard people talk about it. If I get 40 hours this week, I'll make this amount of money. I'll be able to pay this bill, that. And that's all they think about. They don't think about, okay, stop making a living and start making a life. What do you want to do with your life? Because I've seen so many people that I've actually helped go in a different direction to say, I want to start a business. Is that what you really want to do? Yes. And I'm not saying that there's not people out there, engineers and other people who work for other people, but it doesn't work for them. But they've also made a conscious choice to do those things, and they're happy with what they do. If you look at people who work 40-hour weeks, who have, as they call it, security, they never seem to make it any further than that. They never really have a life. And even the people that are out there who think they're making it good, we look at their lives, it's still pretty structured. The spontaneity has been taken out of it to the point where they're getting bored. Because everything happens every day, same over. And I always feel like if you're in a situation where life is comfortable, then there's no challenges. And there should be challenges throughout your whole journey. And that doesn't mean they're always bad and always difficult to get through. It's just challenges. If it could be simply the idea of seeing a mountain, I want to climb the top of it. In the process of climbing the top of that mountain, you're going to probably discover a lot of things about yourself. But the point is, it's you and the element. It's you or whatever. If you're in a situation where you feel like the job is, if you feel like a job, your friends, your family, and all these things are your support, you're sadly mistaken. Okay, there's things in life. Those are not. There's an entity who is. And once you put yourself in a situation and realize what we're talking about, following your heart, what we mean is the idea of following your heart is to realize that God's always been with you, and the situation being one and the same, there's no separation. So therefore, your life should reflect His, because His life is definitely reflecting yours in the process of what you're manifesting in your life. So if you're not manifesting all these great things, then you're seeing something separate than God. You're seeing worldly stuff. You're seeing, well, my boss says that if I don't do this, I'll get fired. Well, if you look at the situation, it goes against your morals, then you're only hurting yourself. So the idea of what we talk about, follow your heart. Once you put any kind of situation, you follow your heart, you're more likely you're going to find people around you going, you're nuts. You know, you need security. Realistically, having a job working for somebody else could end at any time. From the time you walk in and you wear a green shirt and your freaking boss doesn't like green, and he says, okay, that's it, you're gone. Of course, there's probably protocol they all got to go through. You all want to go through that crap. But I'm just saying with the situations of life in itself.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like all those things would be a whole lot happier with people actually doing what they love, being with the person they really love, and doing the things with themselves that they really love to do. Life was meant to be that way. I mean, when we sit here and say prosperous and abundant, those things don't happen unless you're abundantly loving, not as people, but also of yourself at the same time. Abundance is something you accumulate. So abundance can be acquired at any time in your life. It does, because I've heard so many people say, if I don't have a job, how can I be abundant? There's a lot of people out there who don't work a 9-to-5 job, who are very abundant, and they don't like that kind of comment. But I guess it's the idea of saying, well, you can be abundant and prosperous, and somewhere in the line that you did, or you wouldn't have got that job in the first place. So you walked in there, and you were abundantly enthusiastic. I can't say the word. But you were just very hyper. But you walk into a situation, because you're abundantly happy, that I'm going to get this job. See, you acquired the abundance of something to get in the situation to get what you had to get. A lot of people sit here and go, well, I have to have a job to be abundant. You're putting all your energy into a job. And when you do that, that's the reason. That's probably the reason why you feel the way you do, drained and always down. So if you look at people who actually do what they want to do, they put their energy into their job. They put their energy into people they love. But they do it through a loving energy because they're following their heart and they do what they think they should be doing. And they always put themselves in loving situations too as well in the process of attracting everything they ever needed. And I think somewhat, in some sense of the word, that's why a lot of people get jealous of those people because they have something about them, you know, the energy that they want. And they just think that, first of all, they think it's probably because of the job they got or the people around them, that kind of thing. But those things were acquired because that person, the individual, got that energy first. Made a decision in their life to be true to thyself. It all seemed to fall into place. Just, there it was. You couldn't deny it. I guess it's one thing I just emphasize on the whole thing. When you follow your heart, everything becomes the truth because you can see the truth. And there's nothing to... I think people are scared of that. Some of us swear they do. Anyway, sweetie, I'm sorry we went off on the little thing there, but I just felt like the idea...
It's okay.
the situation is just, I saw the career, I saw focusing on that whole thing where I just felt like if one thing the bottom line needs to be, it needs to follow that, follow your heart on what you really want to do with your life. What you
well,
really want.
I've been, I've gotten an opportunity since we've moved up here to work on a hotel, and which I do design and
mm-hmm.
the interiors and whatever. And I'm working with this young gentleman, and it was a bed and breakfast that they had, and I don't know, there was something that happened. I think it had to do with his family, I think. But he's going forward with his own plan to do his own hotel. And I was just wondering if that was going to be coming, you know, if they're moving forward, if he's moving forward with this, you know, soon. It was kind of like, you know, they were in the preliminaries of it.
So you want to know what you're doing now?
Yeah, what I want to, I'm just.
Are you designing a hotel or just working with the hotel?
No, I design the interiors of you know, he wants me to design the interior of the hotel.
Okay.
And the project was kind of, you know, he was in the preliminary part of it. And meanwhile, I was working, you know, with him on the bed and breakfast side. And there was a family falling out or something. I don't know what it was. I you know, families are funny.
So you wouldn't know that was going to happen, huh?
Right. If, you know, when the, his, because the hotel that he's doing is just his. It's not involving the family. It's just his alone.
Okay. When I start focusing on the situation, I get the impression it won't happen.
So he's not going to be doing it?
Because I feel like the situation is that the family doesn't own it or doesn't really have anything to do with it, but you still see family influence.
So he's not going to do the hotel?
I get the impression he's going to do the hotel. I'm just saying what I see now, I don't see it happen. I do feel like they keep saying there's a project down the road.
Mm-hmm.
I also feel like that the situation with you and a lot of things that are going on, and they keep saying you won't have any trouble with work or finding other things to go along with it, where I just feel like the person you're talking about that wanted you to help him with the hotel and that stuff is actually, from what I keep getting, is putting a good word in with you, other people, other possible projects too as well.
He's going to be doing that. He's putting out good work. Because he's very connected in this town.
Yeah.
You know,
I just feel like there's going to be people calling here pretty soon because of him saying something to them. I keep getting at least two. I don't know. For some, I keep doing this thing about two coming through, and you shouldn't have a problem for probably. I keep getting the next year being very spontaneous and pretty much one project after another.
Well, that's good.
Yeah,
because
I just feel like I just want you to sit here and do one thing, too, is let go of the worry.
I'm sorry?
There seems to be some kind of worry. I would put it like this. This is what I see. I got caught up in myself where you sit here and you do something for somebody and then you wonder if there's going to be anything past that. You know? You do a reading for one person and you start getting... It's a quick thought. It goes, you know, I hope that person comes back. Or I hope I get to do some work with that person. When it actually, what it is, it's a fear playing itself out of thinking there are limitations and maybe you've reached yours, not realizing there's actually four or five people coming behind that one, but the worry has a tendency to create a block. So once you stop worrying, then they come in.
Well, it's just that, you know,
yeah, let God be God, huh?
Well, the thing is, I have a tendency to, when I dream very vividly and in color
mm-hmm.
and just exact, things usually that dream will come to fruition in some way. Something, that dream has something that is being told to me.
Let me tell you something real quickly, okay? That has nothing to do with contradiction what you're saying. I'm taking it all in. It's just that we got like 57 seconds left of the recording, and you're going to cut us off.
Okay.
So I'm just saying, if we get cut off in the middle of a saying something like that, and there's some things that you still want to talk about, you're more welcome to use that number to call me back, or I can call you back. It's whatever's comfortable for you.
Yeah, I would probably call you back because my husband would freak if the phone rang.
No problem. I'm just saying, like 34 seconds. So therefore, I'm just saying, it wasn't me going clicking you off. Okay.
All right. Well, anyways, I was just in, of course, they came in the dream, and he was very much in the dream. He was walking behind me, and he was on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like he was walking away from the family and walking towards me.
Oh.
So, anyways, I will call you back.
Oh, no problem. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So we got to go, guys. Nice talking to every one of you. And may God and the angels bless you every minute of every day.